Thanks so much, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. It's the Wednesday edition of our show. You know how to reach us, 312-981-7200. I'm proud to say, you know, a lot of times we have a pretty diverse lineup of guests on the show, and today is one of the strangest of all time. There will be a mentalist, there's a child psychologist, there's a member of the Chicago Blackhawks, and a very sad story later, I think a sad story anyway, hopefully with a happy ending, a woman, a writer. She's 33 years old and has never been kissed, and she wants to talk about that. I read an article that she wrote on Huffington Post about what it's like to go through life that long and never have somebody show any interest in you, never show emotion or kiss you, and she'll be on to talk about that. That's later on.
I wish that was my problem.
Yesterday's show started out on a very somber note because of what was happening globally, the terrorist attacks in Brussels. And you and I have discussed this in the past, how schools treat this. If you have a child in either grade school or high school, how is the day's events kind of shared with the kids in school? One of your kids was in school during the events yesterday. What?
In Ireland. That's the music teacher there who, because there are a lot of spring break trips out there.
Yeah.
I was talking to Mary Vandeveld, and she has, I think, a niece who's out in Vienna.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's in Paris with the French class with her daughter.
Yeah.
Michael's in Ireland. And the main music teacher, Mr. Music, isn't that weird?
His name is Mr. Music?
Yeah, with a K at the end, but still.
Wow, he was predestined to
I
do
know.
That.
My last name should have been Blabby.
Right.
It is when you're not in the room.
That's your Secret Service code name. Anytime that they're shuffling you from one place to another, they go, the Blabby has landed.
Does anyone have a locale on Blabby?
Oh, my God. You guys are. You tease because you love, I know.
That's right. That's true.
A lot of people say that.
But so Mr. Music sent an email last night saying, we have told the kids about the events that went on in Brussels.
Yeah.
They all seem to understand it. And we told them not to panic. We're an ocean's length away, and we just wanted to let them know, and that there may be more delays getting out of the airport when they come home tomorrow.
So how could you not be? You're comfortable with the way they handle that, right? Maybe not too much information. Right?
Can I tell you, and you know me, you know I'm, in addition to Blabby being my code name, it's also too much information.
Yeah.
I just talk too much. So yesterday, I FaceTimed Michael last night as he was wrapping up his day, 5-hour difference. And I wanted so badly to say, is everything cool over there? Because
sure.
The stuff that happened in Brussels, I didn't bring it up. I thought that if he brought it up, I would discuss it. And I just, hey, how's the trip going? And I'm so proud of myself for not bringing it up because I don't want him to panic. There's nothing we can do. Except go on with life.
Of course. He didn't seem nervous to you at all. There wasn't any anticipation or anything, did he?
No. And then I had another mother texting me, hey, have you talked to Michael yet? And I said, no, but I'll let you know when I do. Because she's concerned, too. We're all concerned.
Right.
And I said, I'm not bringing it up. If he does, I will let you know. And he just, business as usual. They're having a great time. They're slamming all these tourism spots and concerts that they're singing. And he just was complaining about the long bus rides.
Oh.
So I thought, if that's the worst of the trip,
then you're in good shape. I always wonder what the school's role should be if something...
Well, spring break is happening now, so no one's in school, really.
I'm trying to think, are all schools...
Not everyone.
Current, but most schools are off.
Didn't you notice traffic was a little better this week?
And it's because of that. It is because of that. All right, so let's say school was in session and this happened, the events took place yesterday. Do some schools share this information with the school kids, or do some of them not? I always wonder how that breaks down. And this one was overseas. If something happened... within the country, I would think that they would certainly make mention of it to high school kids for sure, maybe to grade school kids.
I know that when Dylan was in elementary school, when 9/11 happened, they didn't mention it at all. They talk about it sort of in seventh grade, but in high school they obviously discuss it.
Yeah.
And that's something that I feel should totally be discussed because that's on our home turf.
Right.
We should all be aware of that. But the high school did send a message to the parents and guardians of students currently participating in spring break international travel. And they're just saying, as you're probably aware, the U.S. State Department has issued a travel alert to U.S. citizens traveling in Europe. Based on the tragic events which occurred in Belgium on Tuesday morning. In November, the U.S. State Department issued a similar travel alert in the aftermath of the terror attacks in Paris. The purpose of a travel alert is to alert U.S. citizens to potential risks of travel to and throughout designated areas in Europe. The current alert is set to expire on June 20th.
Hmm.
So we got a ways to go.
A long ways to go.
And they're just kind of saying that... this high school has five student groups in different locations, Ireland, Germany, France, and Italy. Know that the leadership team has and will continue to maintain daily contact with the chaperones leading each of the groups and will monitor the situations for the remainder of the trip.
Wow.
So, I mean, I feel confident that everything that can be done is being done.
Right.
And he returns tomorrow, so I'll be a little happier and more relieved at 6 o'clock when he returns
home.
When you
see him again. Yeah. I remember when I was in high school, I was either a sophomore or a junior when Ronald Reagan got shot, and they made an announcement. I was in gym class, and they made an announcement there was an attempt on Ronald Reagan's life, that he had been shot, and that he was in the on the way to the hospital. And I remember that there was a group of kids that cheered for that, and I felt...
Cheered in what way? That he was on the way to the hospital?
That he had been shot.
Why?
I still don't know. I still don't know. I can't figure it out.
Because they're meatheads in high school, and you do meathead.
But who would?
It's got to be that.
That's too meathead-y. That's terrible.
Even by idiot high school kid standards, that's beyond right. And I remember a bunch of the other kids in the class just looking over them. We were all in line waiting for roll call, and they announced it, and it was just a smattering of kids. But it's like, yeah. And we just looked at them like, what's wrong with you? Why would that bring even if you didn't... Let's say you didn't like anything about Ronald Reagan. Why would you cheer the fact that the president was nearly assassinated? Does that make any sense?
And you're too young to have any issues with Ronald Reagan, aren't you, at that point?
I don't know.
Remember,
16,
it was shortly after his election, and he was a very, you know, he was made fun of as the actor and that time for Bonzo. And, there were a lot of fears about him early in his election. So, I mean, he was a contentious guy.
Yeah, but those kids never saw Bedtime for Bonzo
except for
Bill.
I was the only one.
And when I said that, I don't mean that they should have been cheering.
I'm just saying that he
was a polarizing figure, and so it would lead to meat-headed cheering.
But no one paid attention at that time. Now, you know, there was no Donald Trump to make you aware of what's going on.
In a way, he was Donald Trumpish of his day. I mean,
not as extreme.
As extreme and much more relevant and all of that, but he there were people saying, oh my God, Ronald Reagan?
This is going to ruin the country.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, he was polarizing at the time.
Even, like, the president that I appreciated the least in my lifetime is second George Bush, George W. Bush. But if I got word that he'd been shot, a cheer wouldn't occur to me. I would just, I'd feel like, oh no, that's what society has become, that we're still taking shots at presidents. I wouldn't. Like, the thought of even cheering would never in a million years occur to me. I know, and I'm still, like, it's all these years later, and I'm still trying to figure out the rationale of not just one kid, but a smattering of kids going, yay, the president got shot. It's idiotic, right?
That is so stupid. 312 has texted us, when I was in fourth grade, 1986, the principal came on the PA to discuss the Challenger space shuttle exploding, and that was horrific, because do you know how many school classes were watching that on the giant TV that came in on the wheel cart?
Yeah.
A lot of people were watching that when it went terribly wrong.
Ugh.
So that had to be discussed. These things should be discussed in schools.
See, I think so too, but I've heard so many parents over the years say that that's not the school's job
to teach? Supply
that. Well, you are teaching. I mean, that really, that's the blueprint of what a school is. But I've heard so many parents over the years say that's the parents' job to, you know, those details are something that should be left to us, not to teachers. But I disagree. I think if something major is happening, you can't ignore it.
No, this, right? That's what you're supposed to do in school, current events. Dylan loves this Time Reporter. It's like a Time magazine has an online video dude who does, he does news for all the elementary schools. And he always comes out with a bad pun.
Yeah.
Like, as a funny guest. But Dylan loves it because they really do talk about everything that's going on. And they should.
Let me remind you, and I'm sure you already remember this, of the show In the News when we were kids on Saturday mornings with Christopher Glenn, where I love that. I think those were only 2 or 3 minutes long, but it was the news specially crafted for kids our age, as if to say, here's something your parents are probably talking about, but you should know it too. It's in the news. That was a great show.
I really liked that.
Yeah.
In the News, I'm Christopher Glenn.
Right, right.
Exactly. Is that how you learned your sign off?
It is. Yeah.
Right. Yep. All right.
I still sometimes say Christopher accidentally.
Oh, no. You got to be careful with that.
I practiced for years.
All right. We have a big full show. All kinds of stuff coming your way next. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN.
A lot of families have kids traveling overseas right now during spring break for various high school trips. My son's in Ireland right now, and the teacher he's with said, you know, we've informed them of what happened in Belgium, and we made them aware. And just matter of fact, life goes on, and we're an ocean away. So they were made aware.
They were right to stress that part, to say we're not in a dangerous area. I mean, as we pointed out yesterday, anything could happen anywhere at any time. But I would stress that part to the kids especially.
He said they seem to accept it. No real questions, and it was business as usual. So that put my mind at ease.
Very good.
630 has texted, when 9/11 happened, my mom worked at a junior high, and the principal went on the PA speaker screaming, "We are being bombed! America is being attacked!" Teachers and kids flipped out. Now that is not the proper way to do it.
Right. Boy, I wonder what the aftermath of that was. Like, who sits down with the principal and goes, let's try in the future if something ever horrendous happens. Let's try our best to be
Let's think before we announce.
Yeah. Pick the wrong day to stop sniffing glue.
Right.
I was a freshman in high school when that happened.
At 9/11?
Yeah, and I remember it was much more calm how they presented it in my school. It was just in our homeroom. Our homeroom teachers, you know, let us know what was going on. But I do remember, I don't know who the kid was, but he came in and he must have known the teacher well. And he was like, oh my God, we're getting attacked, blah, blah, blah. Well, this means I'm going overseas and I'm going to get shot. It just like sticks out in my head pretty vividly from that day.
Oh.
Everybody had such terrible reactions, but now did you have any kind of drill or anything when that happened? Were you guys on alert? Did they say be vigilant in your own school?
It was pretty much just business as usual. You know, we still went to classes and everything. And I don't even know that, like, at the time I fully grasped what exactly was going on, but... Yeah.
No, because it broke at like 9 in the morning, and I remember, you know, we were watching it on the news thinking it was just a small plane, you know, terrible accident. Then when the second one hit, and I just remembered I worked at WCKG at the time, and our boss, Jeff Schwartz, said, don't come downtown, be with your families, because no one knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the time you want to be on the radio, but I had Michael was pretty young, and I said, fine, I'm going to go home, and... You watched coverage all constantly. Day.
I'm trying to figure out why, like, for the 16 years that I was in grade school, high school, and college, the only one that I remember happening while I was in school was the Ronald Reagan assassination attempt. I'm sure other things must have happened during that 16-year span, but I don't remember anything being interrupted by an announcement, you know, from the principal or something. Only the Ronald Reagan assassination attempt.
I don't think they, you know, we weren't on a CNN instant 24-hour news cycle at that point. So I think it was a need-to-know basis, and maybe they kept it on the down low a little bit more.
Maybe.
Now, you know, kids are going to be checking their phones in the bathroom, and they're going to find this information out. So the teacher should discuss it. Kathy, your daughter was in London during that bombing?
That bombing, yeah. She was going to COD. And was there for, you know, 6 or 8 weeks in the summer. And 2 weeks in, we got that phone call that you never want to get as a parent at 3 a.m. in the morning. And I picked up the phone, and all she said was, I'm okay.
Oh, thank God.
You know? But it was interesting because nobody went home then. And that was really bad. But they just told them, take no public transportation. So So they, you know, no mass transit. So they if they went anywhere, they shared a taxi or they walked. But they didn't do any buses. They didn't do any trains. Nothing like that. And obviously that, you know, that was the end of it that we know now. But you
but,
know,
but we didn't know that at the time. Yeah. And I bet you were freaking out here, Kathy.
You know, it was like one of those things. I thought at least at that, you know, it was long enough ago that I thought, okay, it's done. It's over. That's it. But I think it's changed now. Because it's, I don't feel like it's done or over now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's continual.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, back then, we still had kind of a little naivete when we thought, okay, that they did it.
It's a done. Rare occurrence.
Right.
Yeah.
So true. Thanks, Kathy. Thank you.
I'll rest assured when Michael returns tomorrow night at 6 and I'll make him a big steak dinner.
Well, that you're handling it properly. That's how it should always be. Let's take a quick break. Steve has the news and then a lot more coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
The mind is a muscle, Bill.
And mind is a muscle.
You have to exercise it. And right now we're going to do not arm wrestling, but mind wrestling with the world's foremost mentalist and purveyor of mind games, Mark Salem.
Hey,
hi, Mark.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Hey, Mark. How doing?
Nice
Terrific.
To see you. Thank you for
it's
coming.
Wonderful to be here.
I wish you would have gotten into my mind and told me that your Mark Salem's Mind Over Chicago at the Apollo Theater is not running through this Sunday. It's been extended through April 10th.
I did, but you weren't listening.
Congratulations.
See, one thing we have to do is attend. There's so many things going on around us that focus has become very, very difficult. I love radio over TV because you could really focus on two things simultaneously. But TV, you can't. I mean, it really pulls your eye. And that's a shame. I think that the video games are the worst.
Well, it's video games and it's texting and it's twittering.
Yeah. Well,
and
I worked for the Surgeon General. I did the studies of the effects of violence on television. I was at Sesame Street for 20 years as a director of research. I'm primarily a psychologist and reader of nonverbal cues. What I do is an occult. It's not supernatural.
Yeah.
But I'm a college professor who has a career that ended up on Broadway and now here at the Apollo. And I'm just on for the ride.
You are amazing. We were talking off the air. I believe in psychic ability. You are not a psychic. I'm not
Correct.
Saying you are. But I believe in what you do, and it's pretty amazing. Explain.
It is amazing, but I don't think psychics necessarily. Now, I don't know what the word psychic means. Does it mean someone who could look at somebody and know what they're thinking? Well, that's what nonverbal behavior is all about. Does it mean they have a sixth sense? Well, we really have like 27 senses. I mean, my sixth sense is my sense of humor. So, I mean, it really doesn't...
Your sixth sense or your sixth sense?
Yes, together. They walk hand in hand depending on what you want to hear. But that's the point. We see and hear what we want to see and hear. We're very selective as human beings, what we attend to, what we pay attention to. And we more likely pay attention to things that we agree with than we disagree with, which is why so many people see the political action going on right now as their person is winning.
I just want to say real quickly, when you came in and I was sitting with my arms crossed and I realized that meant that I was closed up. So I don't know if you saw me. My thought bubble said, hey, you know, you need to be more approachable. So you make me nervous with
don't
my
be
body
nervous
language.
Because, again, body language is contextual. It could also mean you're cold. You see, that's the point. It's like the letter A means nothing by itself. It only means something in relationship to B, C, D, E, the rest of the alphabet. So body language is a language where single things don't mean anything. It's a packet of signals. Everything together means something.
So how do you turn, if you have the ability to read people, how does this translate to what people will see you do on stage?
Well, we have a part where people intentionally lie to me, and I talk about what their body behavior has told me, and I work for the TSA, the FBI, the CIA. Just completed work in Logan Airport and interrogations. I do a lot of this stuff, but the stage is not a academic classroom, and therefore it's my playground, and the mind is my playground. So it translates into what I call mind games.
Yeah.
Now, games aren't just fun, but they're also strategies.
Right. Right?
Like war games.
I mean, chess.
Those aren't necessarily... Yeah, okay. And so the show also is a strategic way of thinking, but it's mostly it's very, very funny. I mean, that's what people don't understand. They leave and they say, boy, that was... And nobody's embarrassed or humiliated. It's for the full family.
I'm
sorry, man.
I want to see people embarrassed and humiliated.
Come to my living room. We'll take care of you.
All right, good.
If you want tickets to see Mark Salem's Mind Over Chicago, you can go to apollochicago.com. You can also go to his website, markwithacsalem.com. Bill was a former stand-up comic, and how many times...
Who wasn't?
...did people... I haven't been.
Well, you're...
Not yet.
Have you been a waitress?
No. Well, I've been in radio for 30 years.
That's like being a waiter.
Kind of.
Yeah, you sit and you wait.
I don't have trays, I have platters.
Yeah, I get it. Discs.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Bill, you being in stand-up comedy, everyone would meet you and go, say something funny.
Right.
I want to say to Mark Salem, give us a mind game.
I'm prepared.
All right. What do we do?
All right. We'll start with you.
Okay.
Bill.
Bill, what I want you to... Well, you could both do this simultaneously.
All right.
Do you have a book here?
Just
in case we brought one, I mean.
I have a book.
Okay, great.
I bought a new book.
What'd you buy? Let's see.
I can't reach.
Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Shut
Wendy.
Up, Bill.
That's racy.
The life-changing magic of tidying up.
Yep.
Is she a messy person?
Oh, me? God, yes. My clutter has clutter.
Wendy's mentioned in the book, Mark.
Oh, is she?
Several times, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. First thing we're going to do is, I'll work with you both together, okay?
Okay.
I also got a case of intuition here. First thing we'll do with Bill, say stop at any point.
Stop.
Okay, that's page 50. Turn to page 50 in your book. Bill, you take this one in the meantime.
All right.
All right, I'm on page 50.
All right. Look at the first couple words. Have you done that? Don't say anything to me aloud.
Uh-huh.
Now look at my forehead. Pick one of those words. Have
Got
you done
it.
That?
Yep.
Okay. Do not make any motions to help me. I'm just going to run through the alphabet to get the first letter to your word you're thinking of. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K.
Am I supposed to stop you when you
no.
say
No.
Okay.
No. A, B, C, D, E, F. It's D.
D.
Is
okay,
it?
Yeah, the lower eyelids really went up a little bit. I mean, it's very, very difficult to control the nonverbal information.
Am I trying to hide that it's not D?
The more
and
you
I
try
reacted?
To hide it, the easier it is. I mean, keep that in mind.
Can I just show Bill what the word is?
Let's
no,
see.
No, let
no,
me keep going.
Okay.
Let me keep going. Well, open that book to any page two, Bill. I am freaking out
and yet loving it. Is that good?
Oh, by the way, happy Purim, everybody.
Happy Purim, everybody.
Happy Purim, everybody. We have a special Purim show Thursday night.
Purim if you got
it. It's like Mardi Gras. I know.
It is like
Amen
Mardi Gras.
Amen to you.
It is like Mardi Gras.
It is.
Yeah, it
oh,
is.
Yeah. It's, I know. It's
all right, back to the mind game.
You know? Okay, pick a tough word, a big word from either of the pages you're looking at. Have
I've
you done
got
it?
I've got a tough word, yes.
Okay. Shut the book.
All right.
See your second letter, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. It's an I, is that correct?
Holy, almost swore.
Okay, yes. Okay, look at Bill. Try to get his next letter.
What do I do to get his next
letter?
You're
going to cycle through the letters, right?
Take a guess.
Of what his letter is?
Yes.
For his word?
Yes.
P.
Is
no.
it P?
No.
What's your first letter?
G.
You're not even close.
Wow, Wendy.
Well,
you should
I'm
not be
saying
a mentalist.
I'm a mentalist.
I wouldn't go to see Wendy perform her mental tricks. I would see you, Mark, but not Wendy. Not after that.
He's looking at Bill.
Lovingly.
No, he's not.
It's the only way to look at me.
Is that what your family tells you?
Yes.
I've written some predictions down here.
Will it mess you up if we take a break?
No.
Okay. I'm so excited. This is like the most fun I've had with my clothes on in a very long time.
That says a lot, Mark. I know you don't know Wendy, but believe me, that says a lot.
He's Mark Salem. It's Mark Salem's Mind Over Chicago.
Hold
running,
on to the book. Don't.
I've got the book.
Running at the Apollo Theater, extended through April 10th. If you want tickets, you can go to apollochicago.com. Quick break, and then we're going to be amazed and wowed when we return with Mark Salem, 720 WGN. We're talking to Mark Salem, the world's foremost mentalist and purveyor of mind games. Someone texted and wanted to know if we're interviewing Dustin Hoffman, because you sound like Dustin Hoffman, according to a listener.
That's
I nothing, wish.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I wish.
Mark will be at
I have much less hair.
The Apollo Theater.
And I'm a woman.
Through April 10th. Now, if you've just joined us, we're in the middle of something. I turned to a random page, page 50 of a book that I purchased myself.
And I'm away from you. I mean, I haven't come near you during the break.
No, we haven't discussed any of this during the break.
Right.
Although I noticed you gave Bill something.
Yes.
You gave me a card, a prediction card.
Yes.
All right.
I've not looked at it.
Okay.
And Mark is in the process of
And you also chose a word at random. Again, totally at random. Right. There's must be thousands of words in that book.
I flipped to a random page, and you said pick a more difficult word, and I did.
And I'm on a word that you got two letters of so far.
All right. What were the letters? They were D.
And I.
I. So it must be S. Is it desire?
No.
It's not digest.
Desire is D-E.
Oh.
This isn't a spelling game.
So much for the commercial break.
All right.
D-I?
Mm-hmm.
What's after the I?
I'm not going to tell you. You're supposed to tell me.
Ah. Yeah. Well, let me... I got it.
Mark is now sketching Wendy and I with charcoal.
All right. Well, this makes fascinating radio, I'm sure. Let me just try you for
okay,
one
sure.
second. Okay,
sure. Yeah.
See your word.
I see it.
Do me a favor. Pick any word from the book. I got the first letters. Let me try to get something else. I did get the first two letters. Could you visualize this as an object?
No.
Try to pick a word that you could visualize. Could you visualize yours as
I
an
can,
object?
I can, yes.
Okay. All right.
I can't find a word.
It's your book.
I haven't read it yet.
You know how
obviously.
Books are. Hardly any
okay,
words.
Okay, pick any word. Pick any word.
And I get away with the first word? Because you may have guessed the third letter, but guessed the wrong word. I don't want to confuse you. I've ruined his whole mentalist
You've already confused me.
I know. Okay.
A word you could visualize.
I've got my prediction. Okay, I've got my prediction. I've got it before you picked your word. You got your word?
Yeah.
What is it?
Then my new word?
Yeah.
Campaign.
What was the old one?
Well, you're supposed to tell me. Distress.
And what did I say?
Desire.
Same thing.
It is the same thing, Wendy.
No.
No, I got both ones. I did get both
You
ones.
Did?
Yeah.
But Mark is handing Wendy a piece of paper.
You need longer hours.
And it's a bill. He's charging Wendy $75.
Campaign and distress were written down.
What?
But campaign distress usually is tied in directly with desire.
So does Circle get the square, Charlie Weaver?
During the Clinton campaign, that was the entire thing. Distress, campaign, and desire.
And cigar.
Hey, it's your radio show. Do what you want.
Now, what about mine?
All right. First letter was G, you said before?
The first letter of the word is G.
All right.
Oh, wait, no, I didn't. Oh, yeah, I did say that. I told you that already.
Yeah.
I did tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you were trying to trick me.
Yeah, I'm trying to trick
He's playing mind games with you, Bill.
All right.
Okay.
He's Mark Salem.
Okay, could you see an image of this?
I am currently envisioning the word, yes.
Okay. I'm getting a A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R. It's an R.
It is.
See the next letter. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Yeah, it's what I thought it was. It's an A.
It is A.
What is the word you're thinking of?
The word. Now, can I tell you the whole word? Are you good with that?
Yeah.
It's graveyard.
Yeah, turn over the card I had given you during the commercial break.
It's a Mark drawing has of what? Drawn pictures of tombstones as if
right,
it was
I
a
am
graveyard.
Completely freaked out. Although those could be, you know,
It could be two McDonald's next to each other.
Yeah, and it could be sombreros.
It could be sombreros. But I would say to you that sir is a graveyard right there.
Yeah, of course it's a graveyard.
Well, that's not bad.
I don't draw random pictures.
That's not bad. Well, you gave him that card.
During the commercial break.
I am just blown away by this, whatever it is that you have.
But could you and I be in cahoots?
Cahoots.
Well, maybe me and her are in cahoots,
too. Oh, I never thought of that.
Maybe you two are in cahoots.
No, we're not.
Yeah, sure. I love conspiracy theories. But the simple answer is that we are guided in a lot of simple ways. Let me do something, and I'll explain this to you and to the audience to kind of explain how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Only have a couple minutes here.
I understand, but this is for your audience, not for you. But I want you. I have here the numbers 1 to 4. I want you both to think of a number. Think of a number, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, audience. I have written the numbers 1 to 4. Think of a number. Okay, the number that I'm trying to project, and then I'll explain it, is the number 3.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get?
4.
What do you get?
2.
Okay, so you're both non-logical thinkers.
Thank you.
It's okay, because you have other things on your mind.
Right.
See, I like
basically,
it.
No,
that's
no. Basically, I said pick a number 1 to 4.
Yeah.
Which already put 3 digits in your mind. 1, 2, and 4.
1, 2, 4.
Right.
Yeah.
And your mind abhors a vacuum. So I would assume most of your listeners... See, you guys weren't really listening. You were merely looking. I know right. that because you're radio guys. You
right.
never listen. You listen all day long. So
but
your
you could
eyes
have said the average of Wendy's choice and my choice is 3.
But
the
that's
number
not
that's
true.
That's 2. Right.
I mean, it's always 3.
Right.
Always.
A couple of texters said they picked 3.
Of
yeah, well,
course
sure.
they did. No, no, because, again, because of that way that the mind abhors that vacuum, it fills it in.
Explain this to me. A teacher in one of my high school classes, there's a class of 35 of us, and he said, pick a number between 1 and 10. He was telling us about probability, and he said, pick a number between 1 and 10 and write it down, and 30 out of the 35 kids picked either a 3 or a 7, and he had written that down. The majority of the kids would pick
yeah.
3 or
well,
7.
Well, there aren't probabilities. If I told you, think of any single number.
Yeah, between what and what?
Between one
single
and nine.
Number. So
oh, just any single number. Right.
Yeah, don't
you're
say
not logical,
yeah. you
remember.
Think of any single number.
All right.
Okay, have you both got one in mind?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No. Again, this is basically a my original training was statistics. Believe it or not.
Oh.
What number have you got?
2.
And what number
7.
Have you got? Huh? You sure?
Mm-hmm. I've broken you, haven't I?
No.
On a piece of paper, Mark has written the numbers 2 and 7, which are very similar to the numbers we chose. I would say in the ballpark, certainly in the ballpark, 2 yeah. and 7. That's not bad.
I'm just
better than your teacher.
Bad.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he was just a genius.
Him. He can't teach anymore because of that.
You are amazing and an entertaining show. We don't have time to talk to Holly, but she says your show is great. She saw it. You are the world's foremost mentalist, purveyor of mind games. He's Mark Salem, Mark with a C. You can go to marksalem.com, and you can go see Mark Salem's Mind Over Chicago running through April 10th at the Apollo Theater. Go to apollochicago.com.
And special Purim tomorrow night.
Special Purim
wear
show.
Wear a costume.
Yep. Dress as Evil Haman, get 4% off.
Hey, man.
Also, your book, 6 Keys to Unlock and Empower Your Mind, that's available on Amazon
copies.
And everywhere. So thank you so much.
Nice meeting you, Mark.
I hope Take I didn't
care,
break
kids.
You.
No, I'm afraid I broke you.
Yeah, somebody's broke.
Right. But we sell a repair kit.
Oh, good.
Good.
Amazon.
Right.
Thank you, Mark. Quick break, news and more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Dr. John Duffy has been here before. He'll be here again. He is a clinical psychologist, best-selling author, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert, proud husband and father, and author of the number one best-selling book, The Available Parent, which I pick up and read different parts of it very frequently because we all try to be good parents.
We all do.
Oops.
We all do. And if you can pick up on bits and pieces of that, that's great.
All yeah. right, so parenting, you know, I thought was going to be really easy.
Sure.
I did not know it was going to be the hardest job I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It's the toughest job. It's the most important thing any of us are ever going to do, right?
And that pressure kind of weighs on you because you're responsible for shaping and molding these kids.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, and I think for our generation more so than others, parenting is a verb, and we take it really, really seriously. Our parents would open a door at 9 a.m. and say, come back at 9 p.m. and hopefully you're intact. You know, now we're very, very hands-on. There's all these diagnostic categories around our kids, and there's all these different school situations. And so it's a much more complicated affair than it once was.
You say we're more hands-on. My mom wasn't really that hands-on, and I turned out okay. Are we helicoptering too much?
Yeah. I'd say
yes,
let's make this real simple. I think we are. You know, I think we overparent by quite a bit, actually. You know, and if we can just kind of trust that the messages we send to our kids, by and large, get through to them, and they're going to make some mistakes, but by and large, things work out. And you know, if you can think long game, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, chances are things are going to work out perfectly fine, and our messages get through. We don't have to sit there and lecture our kids,
right? I want to bring you into a story that became a national story, and that's this player on the White Sox, Adam LaRoche, who wanted his kid to be with him all the time when he was playing baseball.
Yeah.
Is that a healthy environment for a kid of 14 years old?
I've given this a lot of thought because it seems like such a sweet thing, right? You know,
yeah.
Like this guy wants his kid in the clubhouse, and you know, and I like the image of
it.
Right, his best friend, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I've been thinking about it lately and thinking like, I don't know if that's the healthiest situation for a 14-year-old kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what message he walks away from. And long term, I've been thinking, like, how does this kid establish kind of a name for himself among his peers other than Adam LaRoche's kid,
right,
who has spent time in the dugout? You
right.
know what I mean? So part of me thinks, you know, on occasion, that seems like not the worst thing. But to be kind of this staple in the clubhouse, I'm not sure what long term that really nets for him. I get that it's cool.
Right.
But, you know, part of me thinks maybe bringing him to work every day isn't the best idea.
Probably better for his development to be hanging out and playing with kids roughly his own age than guys in their 20s and 30s, right? Wouldn't you imagine?
Without a doubt. As shiny and as awesome as it seems like, you know, that you get to hang out with the White Sox all day long, I think without a doubt, you know, for his socialization and his maturity, the best thing is probably what's happening here, you know, that he's out of that dugout at least a lot of the time. Yeah.
And think about it. We can address this in our own personal ways. My son Michael's on WLTL, his high school station. I would maybe want to bring him here once in a while to see how real radio is. But to do it every day would drive Bill nuts. Bill, imagine you like to play tennis. What if you brought one of your daughters to your games and had her play doubles with you every time?
That would be crazy,
and
right?
And Dr. Duffy, what if you brought your son George to like a session that I was in with you, and I'm like, what's he doing here?
Right, exactly.
It affects everyone.
Oftentimes it's just inappropriate, but it's also a matter of balance. You know what I mean? Because I can imagine, I've thought about what some of the other Sox players might be thinking, like, well, I've got kids and I wouldn't mind having my kids here.
Yes.
Or I'd prefer not to have a 14-year-old in here. This is where I work, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't want to be hard-hearted about it, and I can tell you guys don't want to either. But thinking about the best interest of the kid and the best interest of the team, it makes sense to me to kind of take him out of there at least part of the time.
Yeah.
And aren't you dying to know Drake's take on this? The Onion had something really funny, like Drake is bringing his father Adam to middle school with him every day, and there have been some complaints. And I would love to get Drake's take on this. Like, you know, when I know Adam did it when his dad was
his father, Dave LaRoche, was a player and a coach,
right?
Yeah,
and it's like kind of a family situation. But you know, if your dad says, hey, come to baseball with me all the time, Drake would be like, okay, this is cool. But at some point, if he's sick of it, you can't look at your dad and go, you know what, I'm done,
right.
Count me out,
right?
Yeah. I'd like to talk to Drake 2 months from now and see, you know, like, okay, so now that you're out of there for a while,
right,
does it feel any different? Do you feel any more connected socially? You know, does it feel better in some ways that you didn't expect?
Yeah.
You know?
And his father made him a target for all these jokes now.
There is that, right? I mean, you know, like, he is a headline. Everybody knows who he is at 14 years old. That's a big cross to bear.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very tough. We're going to take a quick break, John, when we come back, and this is a great topic. What parents do when they have tried everything and nothing seems to be working for their child. We'll cover that with you.
Good.
All right.
Perfect.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Dr. John Duffy is our guest. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's WGN.
We're talking with Dr. John Duffy. You can find his website, drjohnduffy.com. And we're talking about being a parent. It's a tough job. The Available Parent is a great book that he has written. And how do you get through to your kids? Is that what we're discussing right
now? Yeah, I think that's one of the trickiest things that parents have come to me lately about. They'll say, like, okay, I've gone to conferences, I've read every book, and somehow every technique I try, I'm not getting through to my kids. And to my thinking, and in my experience, the answer is almost inevitably, oh, you don't have any goodwill built up. In other words, when you come to your kid, you're usually admonishing them, telling them what they're not doing right. The garbage cans that aren't brought in, the you know, the homework that's not being done, the friends you don't want them to hang out with, but you're not spending time just like hanging out with them.
What yeah, are
you,
right.
you know, and connecting with them. And if you don't spend any time that way, you're Charlie Brown's mom. I mean, you're not really making any connection.
Right.
And without that goodwill established, your kid is at times a crisis, or even not crisis, aren't really going to listen to you. They're mm-hmm. really not going to heed your words. So my bias is always to push parents at times when you're not in any crisis to spend a lot of time just connecting with your kid. This is the fun part of parenting. You know what I mean? And we, especially as our kids become teen and tween-age kids, we forget this. We get a little anxious, and then we start bearing down and telling them what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And we spend way too much time doing that, not nearly enough time just connecting. And that's where every technique kind of just bounces right off of them.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I am that mom. Mm-hmm. It's always like, you know, why didn't you do that? Why? And then Jimmy Mack goes to C2E2 with them, goes to see Batman versus Superman. He hangs out with them. And then I'm thinking, I never do anything fun with my boys. So Monday I'm taking off. I'm going to do something fun with my boys.
All right.
Maybe they'll go shopping with me.
Maybe.
Possibly. Maybe.
May I suggest the bouncy house? People love a bouncy house.
But see, now I've, and it's not a guy girl thing, but it's easier for two sons to go hang out with dad. It's tougher to come up with things to do.
For sure. It's a lot easier when the genders are the same. So you sometimes have to be creative. You know what I mean? And you have to meet your kids where they are. Because sometimes even within genders, recently I worked with a dad. He's a football guy all the way through. His kid is a soccer guy, mm-hmm. a really, really good soccer player,
mm-hmm.
but dad's not interested in soccer. And, you know, my point to him was, I'd get into it. You know yeah. what I mean? I'd get into soccer because this is going to be his thing. He's not going to be a football guy.
Right.
And this is your opportunity to connect. You want to take it.
But, John, a lot of parents would tell you that if you even said to your kid, I guess mostly a teenager, if you said, let's say you got a kid who's 13 or 14 and you go, hey, you pick the event tomorrow. It's me and you. We do whatever you want. Even though some kids would welcome that, you're going to get a handful of kids that go, yeah, that's what I want, is to spend my day off with you.
Right,
that's
right.
going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's right? true. That's true. Most kids would say, especially once they hit, you know, let's say 12, 13, 14, I don't really want to spend any time with
right.
you. So then you got then you got to take advantage of moments, not days, you know?
Yeah.
And I work with a lot of parents who say, like, you know, well, I tried to spend, you know, 6 hours with my kid. It didn't work. I've kind of failed as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us aren't going to get 6 hours. We mm-hmm. might get a half an hour. We might get 15 minutes in the car. So we got to take advantage of the little opportunities that we get. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're listening to this song in the car. You picked it. What do you like about it? I
yeah.
can't stand it. What do you like about it? You know, and there's an opportunity for a little connection there. So it doesn't have to be giant and broad. It doesn't have to be a weekend in Disney World.
Right.
And it's probably not going to be, to your point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill makes fun of me because my oldest son, Michael, we go in the basement, plug in the guitars and the PA system, and we jam. And Bill, look at his face. He laughs at me. He goes, what 16-year-old is going to want to jam with their mom? We have these little open mic nights in our neighborhood.
Yep.
And Michael jumps right up. He wants to play with me.
Yeah. All right.
He doesn't believe me. And then Dylan, sometimes I'll sit and we'll play video games for a couple hours because that's something he's into. Now, these are okay, right?
Absolutely. Listen, I
know
get...
Keith and Shirley Partridge had a huge
Shut
success
up.
With this, so I know it's not unprecedented.
He really doesn't believe the fact, and I'll do stuff by myself, you know, but he likes to play guitar with anyone, even his mom.
So, you know, I guess to both of your points, I'll try to do a little conflict resolution here.
Let's lay down on the couch, Bill.
Yeah, right.
All right.
You know, I don't want anybody to presume that they're not going to be able to connect with their kid in some certain way. Because kids surprise you. You know what I mean? Like, they want to connect. They might tell you they don't. They
yeah.
might say, you know, I'm going to my room. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
But if you get a moment where it's like, you know, okay, well, let's play this Nirvana song together and see if we can learn it. If you get that moment, take that moment for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I
sure.
run into that with my son sometimes, and I'm surprised. Like, oh, we're actually playing a song together, you know, like, so every once in a while you hit a home run, or you end up watching a show and you're like, okay, we both like this show, or we both like this music, or, you know, we both like going to Jimmy John's. I mean, you know, it
find
doesn't have
something in common and play off of that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We have Kevin who has a question for you. Kevin, we're talking to Dr. John Duffy, the author of The Available Parent. You had a question for him?
Yeah. My son, he just would rather play the video games. And I know it gives me a headache. So, you know, you say spend time with him and stuff. Sure, we go bike riding every now and then, but he prefers always to play Minecraft and the video games.
Yeah. I understand, Kevin. Your guy is not alone. And my bias would be, I worked with a dad years ago who had this great idea where he struck these bargains with his kid, and he would say, all right, you know what? We will play your video game for a half an hour. The next half an hour, tomorrow night, I get to pick the thing. And they have this kind of playful thing going with each other, and the kid's completely on board. He's like, okay, I got dad playing video games, so I'm willing to listen to his, you know, music from the 70s, or, you know, like, play his video game from way back when, or go and get, you know, a milkshake with him. So if
why couldn't I think of that? That sounds like a great idea.
Well, it's tricky. When it's your kid, it's hard to maintain perspective. But
emotion gets involved.
Yeah.
Gets in the way.
Yeah, it absolutely gets in the way. But if you can take a step back and kind of think kind of really reasonably, if you can get into his video games a little bit and see if you can get him to tell you a little bit about, like, why is he into it? What's he, you know, what is he like about it? Especially if you can't find that, you know, if you can't really figure that out. But also, I would leverage it. I'd say, all right, I pick the next activity and we're in.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, Kevin.
Good luck, Kevin.
Last night after the Hawks, Blackhawks debacle, we were watching the Hawks game. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. Dylan started playing NHL 2016 because he wanted to change history and make the Hawks beat Dallas.
Right.
It didn't work, though.
No. You can't change history. You can't.
Somebody called. We were talking about college admissions, and some parent called and said, how important are extracurricular activities? And remember, the woman said, can you put playing video games on the application?
Yeah, right.
Because that's really common. Kids are way into these games.
It's really common. Boys in particular, although I'm hearing more and more that a lot of girls are playing a lot of video games too. I worked with a kid recently who integrated video games into his college essay. I mean, in a really, really clever way that he struggled connecting with other kids directly one-on-one, but when he had the headpiece on and he was talking to kids in Omaha and they were playing Call of Duty together, he felt like, okay, I can connect with these guys. And that was the core of his essay, is he was able to adapt and find a way to connect socially through video games, if not directly.
Do you ever see the show The Middle? There's a character on The Middle, Axel's college roommate, who has been on the show a year and a half. Kenny, they always just show him from behind. He's always playing a video game. He never reacts to anything. He just plays a video game.
Right, right, right.
We all know that kid. Everybody knows that kid.
Absolutely. And we tend to dismiss video games as kind of this one-dimensional, like sitting there watching TV. But if you sit down with your kid and you play a video game for a few minutes, you realize there's a lot going on there. There's a little bit of skill building going on there. There's some socialization going on there. So to kind of just say, you know, this is a terrible part of the culture and I don't want my kid involved and I'll just suffer through the hour he plays.
Right.
We're missing a little something there. Yeah. We can learn a little something from them about what's actually going on.
You said something that kind of made sense to me. If you have a kid who doesn't have a ton of friends or isn't involved in sports, that is their social life, and maybe they don't know how to connect to other people so much. Because, you know, if you have like a group of kids that play football together or baseball together, they're hanging out in like a big herd.
Right, right. Right, but if your kid's, like, you know, not really kind of inclined toward that or doesn't feel like the confidence to do that, it's not altogether maladaptive to connect, you know, sitting in the basement, you know, playing some video games. It's not ideal, but it's better than nothing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It really is by a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the takeaway, I guess, is find something in common and don't be afraid to do, hey, we did this for an hour, you liked it, let's do this for an hour, I like it, and just go back and forth.
And,
right?
And eventually we'll just forge this connection.
Yeah,
absolutely. 100%.
That makes sense.
Yep.
That's John Duffy. Again, the book, The Available Parent, and then his website, drjohnduffy.com, is just DR, and then his name, johnduffy.com. Thank you, John.
Thank you guys for having me.
A quick break, some news, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks very much. It's the Big Band Sounds of Bill and Wendy on WGN. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in. We'd love to hear from you. There's been a couple of stories about Donald Trump's wife and Ted Cruz's wife that are very, very interesting. Now, before we cover this, just a little bit of background. This is semi-related to the story. There's been some video that's been unearthed of Donald Trump appearing on Oprah Winfrey's show, and you'll be shocked to learn that even back in 1988, Donald Trump had a little bit of an attitude when it came towards women. A lot of people who criticize Donald Trump say one of the things that he doesn't seem to be very realistic about is women's roles in 2016, that he kind of lives in the dark ages when it comes to men's roles and women's roles.
A little sexist, is he?
Just a tad, I guess you could make the argument.
Misogynistic?
So, yeah, yeah. So here's a little audio from an appearance that Donald Trump made on Oprah Winfrey's show. And at the time, this was when he was married to Ivana Trump, not his current wife, his first wife, Ivana Trump. So listen in and see if times have changed much.
Okay, now I wanted to show you this. We have this clip from our show in 1988 where Donald and Ivana, she was here. Okay?
I know.
We're here together, and I asked Donald what happens when they fight, and this is what he said then.
We don't have tremendous fights. We should have world record setting fights, but we really don't. We get along very well, and there's not a lot of disagreement because ultimately Ivana does exactly as I tell her to do.
See, wait a minute.
Male chauvinist.
Right, men, is that right?
Huh, guys, am I right?
That's a joke, though.
He's not a chauvinist.
Is it? Wait, all right, you can cut it, Kevin. Is it a joke? I don't know if it is.
I think it's a joke.
It got a laugh, but it also got a, oh. It got an equal part laugh to, oh.
Can I tell you something? All guys say that they are in control and they call the shots. And who usually does it? The wife.
Oh, sure.
But no,
sure.
I think it was a joke.
I hope so. Except I know you can't see it because you're only hearing the audio. But when you see it, it's his... You know his normal posture when he's spouting Trumpisms? It's that kind of a look, like, I'm the guy, what I say goes, you can't argue with me. It's that kind of an attitude as he's saying it.
After he said, right, guys, he was doing a cool, like, fist pump, like, yeah.
Yeah, he does. Huh, am I right, guys? Are we the boss? Are we the kings? It's like that kind of an attitude. Now, I don't think it played in 1988, but now... With all that's happened, it's 2016. I really don't think that plays now.
No, certainly not. No.
I don't think so. All right. So now that brings us to the story that was big news last night into today. There's a mock ad. It's online that shows Donald Trump's current wife, Melania, who's a former model from Slovenia. You all know who she is. And she did a photo shoot for Gentleman's Quarterly a couple years ago where she's not wearing a whole lot by way of clothing. She's mostly naked in these shots. So there's a picture of her with a caption along the lines of, is this what our next first lady is going to look like? Are you comfortable with this being your next first lady?
That's not right? Fair.
Probably not. Definitely not. Now, it was believed when these first hit that it was Ted Cruz's camp that sent these out. As it turns out, it's not Ted Cruz's camp. It's just a group that isn't happy with Donald Trump. They don't want Donald Trump to be president, so they're going to use whatever they can to say Donald Trump shouldn't be president. So here you have a picture of Melania Trump pretty much naked. She's covered up, but you can tell she must have forgot her clothing. And Donald Trump was none too happy. And then he took some stabs at Ted Cruz and Ted Cruz's wife saying, and Donald Trump has used this tactic before. He used this with the Ricketts family. Remember when the Ricketts family took out ads not wanting Donald Trump to be president? He said, hey, be careful. I know some secrets about the Ricketts family. You want me to divulge those secrets? Because if you want me to, I will. Well, now he's done the exact same thing with Ted Cruz and Ted Cruz's wife. I know some things about Ted Cruz's wife. I could tell you it wouldn't be pretty. So then Ted Cruz commented on this last night. Listen to this.
Last night, Donald threatened my wife. He went directly after my wife. And I got to tell you that, number one, Heidi, my wife, she's the daughter of missionaries in Africa. She is my best friend in the world. And if Donald wants to get in a character fight, he's better off sticking with me because Heidi is way out of his league. But it is also, it reveals a lot about character. Reveals a lot about class, that Donald's instinct is to try to attack my wife and sully her. And you know what? That should be beneath Donald.
I can't listen to him. I just wanted to gag myself with a spoon or my finger.
Can I tell you what this sounds like? Do you remember The American President with Michael Douglas?
Sure.
Literally, it's almost the same lines that Michael Douglas
used, isn't it?
When he was talking about Annette Bening.
Yep.
It's crazy.
That's a Rob. If people haven't seen it, it's a Rob Reiner film. It's really great. Very foretelling as to what's going on today.
But now Trump reacted thinking that Cruz was behind this Melania thing to begin with, right?
Correct.
Here's the first thing. Find out who's behind it before you do stuff.
Yeah.
And what did Trump say about Heidi?
It was words to the effect of, I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, if you want to talk about a guy's wife, I know some things about Ted Cruz's wife. And I'm not afraid to tell you what they are. So if you want to play by those rules, I'm ready to play.
But he didn't reveal anything?
No, he did. He did the same exact thing with the Ricketts family 2 or 3 weeks ago, when the Ricketts were taking out ads, you know, saying essentially this guy should not be our president. So he said, "Hey, I got some secrets on you guys." But he just it's amazing to me.
It's back to high school.
It is exactly
again.
That. It's not the kind of thing that. Like during the Lincoln-Douglas debates, I don't remember them ripping out each other's wives
at all. Have you looked at your wife?
Yeah, I don't remember that coming up. Oh, that Mary Todd Lincoln, you want to talk crazy? That lady's crazy. There was none of that back then. Why has it become that now?
Because of the stupid internet. There was no internet back then. Mary Todd Lincoln would have been made fun of a lot more, I have a feeling.
A lot more.
I'm looking at the Melania Trump thing where she's laying in, you know, fur. Is that it?
Yeah, she's wearing next to nothing. The line, I couldn't remember the exact line. Meet Melania Trump, your next first lady, or you could support Ted Cruz on Tuesday. So he just naturally assumes, well, who else would take out an ad like this except for Ted Cruz? But it wasn't Ted Cruz.
I just don't think it's right to get the wives involved, and I don't care about the first lady. That's not who we're voting for.
Right, right.
Seriously.
Right.
You know, and God love her. We talked to Bernie Sanders' wife, and she was a doll, but, you know, she's into tie-dye and some of those things.
I mean,
I don't know if you're going image-wise, if she makes a great first lady, but you're not voting for the first lady. And there's nothing wrong with Mrs. Sanders, I can't remember her name.
Jane.
Yes. Nothing wrong with her, but I mean, like, you look at her and you're thinking, who was the one candidate who had a wife that they were saying that she should dress better? It was last election. Do you remember this?
I don't remember
who that is. I'll find it out, but they're like, you know, she needs a little bit of a makeover because she seems frumpy.
Yeah.
That should have no measure whatsoever on who you're voting for.
You wouldn't think so. But then what happened? Let's say things are going according to plan or the way things seem to be, and Donald Trump is the candidate for the Republicans and he's up against Hillary Clinton. Don't you think then he pulls out the marital status of Bill and Hillary Clinton? And if he does, Donald Trump has had something of a checkered past when it's come to his wives as well.
How many wives have he had?
He's on number three. There was a time where a guy who was considered to be a viable option for either candidate, either party, if he had been divorced, the advisors would go, uh-oh, how's America going to perceive this guy? He's been married before. That was a thing with Ronald Reagan, that he'd been married before. Uh-oh, this guy had been married once before. That could be ugly. Trump's on number three right now. So does that become an issue?
No, and you know what? I know I had said something earlier about if I was Bill Clinton, you know, you get to walk around going, I was the president, and now all of a sudden his wife might be, so he can't get that claim to fame anymore.
Yeah.
Two presidents in one household. But when you see Bill and Hillary together, whether it's an act or not, they seem to genuinely be friends and hanging out and getting along great.
At this point, yes. We all know the history. There have been some peaks and valleys, but at this point, they do seem to be. Yeah.
They really do. Yeah. And, you know, I guess you are getting, does that mean like there's never going to be a single president again? Because it's all about the family? It shouldn't be. It's not that.
You wouldn't balk at voting for a guy if he was single?
If he was a millennial? Although he couldn't be. He had, what, 35
you
to
be
president?
Yeah, it's 35, right? Yeah.
I don't know.
I would think in this day and age that if somebody had been married once or twice or had never been married, I would hope that that wouldn't be a factor.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I don't care if our first lady is Melania Trump. I'd rather her take care of things than Donald.
But she doesn't look like, I mean, I'm not sticking up for these ads of this is Melania Trump, your next first lady. But she did, like, when you would think about first ladies throughout history, she doesn't look like a lot of them have looked.
Not naked.
Right. Well, I've never seen, with the exception of Dolly Madison, I've never seen any of them naked. She'd be the first one I'd see without her clothes on.
I don't even care.
She was
care.
A model.
Yeah, well, good for her. You Michelle know? Obama looks like she could be a model.
Absolutely.
So, you know what? She set the bar pretty high.
Right.
And
Bess Truman was hot. You remember Bess Truman? She was very attractive.
I don't remember her.
Very
Kim mentioned
pretty.
A movie with Michael Douglas, and what was the name of the movie again?
American President.
I believe we have the audio. Kevin found it.
Yeah, it's comparing the two clips, kind of. Here we go.
And if Donald wants to get in a character fight,
Cruising.
He's better off sticking with me because Heidi is way out of his league.
You want a character to debate, Bob? You better stick with me because Sidney Ellen Wade is way out of your league.
Oh, my God. It's like it's identical. Good score, Kim Gordon.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite movies. As soon as I heard that, I was like,
yeah, it's almost
your
direct.
Own material, Ted Cruz.
Yeah. But apparently Ryan's telling me that Ted Cruz is a huge movie buff, so maybe he pulled it out on purpose.
He is.
Yeah, well then say, as Michael Douglas would say,
right.
You can't claim it as your own, Cruzy.
Yeah.
How about that? All right, let's take a break. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. That's the call line. That's the text line.
And we were talking about Melania and
the current Mrs. Trump.
Yes.
Right.
Number three, is it?
Yeah.
And there's a meme going out and about, like, is this what you want your first lady to look like? Paraphrasing. And
a sultry picture of her from a GQ shoot from a couple of years back.
I think she borrowed the fur that Burt Reynolds laid on.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yep.
And then, so Donald Trump attacked Ted Cruz, his wife, Heidi. And
he said he knows some things about her.
Right.
And if we're going to play the wife game, he knows some things about Heidi Cruz that he will not hold back on. But that's a tactic that he's used with the Ricketts family. He's used it with others where he knows something and you better be careful because he'll tell the world, but then he doesn't.
And he did it because he thought Ted Cruz's people or Ted Cruz himself was behind this little meme that's going on.
Yeah.
So now Cruz is defending his wife. Don't go there. And we're talking, and really, what does his wife have to do with performing a job, says 219. We're not voting for the first lady.
Well, we're not, but yeah, take a phone call or two on this. Colleen, in a way, the first lady's role is an important one, isn't it?
I think so. They still have to have some type of agenda. And I think they do have to have a certain type of, you know, appeal. So I do agree with Wendy a little bit. You know, you're voting for the president, but first lady plays an important part, I think.
There's like a, you almost become a diplomat by proxy, don't you, when you're the first lady?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they did ask Melania this. She was on an interview with Anderson Cooper or somebody, and she didn't even know what to say. They asked her what would her platform be or something like that, and she just said, I'll do good things or something like that.
Oh, all right.
So, yeah.
Then I believe her.
As long as it's not bad things,
no,
we're
if it's good things,
yeah,
we want that.
I don't know if that meant redecorating the bathroom or what, but...
Thank you so much for calling, Colleen.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Colleen.
It.
I love you guys.
Thank
You're
you.
Thank you.
You know, I compare this in France. Do you remember when Carla Bruni
married
the French president, Sarkozy? I think the French probably accept it a little better than us, you know, marrying a former model and a model, you know, a singer, but it'll be interesting to
in
see
Italy,
how it plays out.
Do either of you remember a woman named Cicalina, who was an Italian porn star who became a politician and was immensely popular in Italy?
Of course she was.
Of course.
She was very popular.
Everybody knew her, what her platform was.
Oh, yeah.
Shoes.
Yes. Yes.
Carla Bruni, am I mistaken when I say that she dated Keanu Reeves before she married?
Oh, did she? I don't know. Yeah.
I think so, because can you imagine being like a high official knowing you got Keanu Reeves' sloppy seconds?
Yeah.
I think he's awesome. He's my secret crush, but...
Is it Sarkozy's brother who's married to one of the Olsen twins, right?
How weird. Now, that's weird.
That's a little
strange.
That
is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because he's substantially older.
Yes, he is. He is.
They both love to smoke.
Right.
Everybody does.
They have that in common. That's what brought them together, their love of smokes.
I thought Carla Bruni once dated...
Keanu Reeves?
I think so.
Yeah?
I thought, God, she's lucky.
She's a very attractive woman.
I'll find that out. I'll look into that later.
Yep. But right. I just like that it's come to this, is that the two of the front runners for the office of the President of the United States are taking swipes at each other's wife and going, I know secrets about your wife. Yeah, well, I know secrets about your wife. That's crazy.
It's totally imploding, the GOP.
Yeah.
The grand old party isn't so grand anymore.
I don't think so.
Sounds like the front of the National Enquirer.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. A quick break. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up for you on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Wendy, very seldom do we open either the first or the second half of the show with a guest, unless it's somebody we really, really, really love. On the line with us right now, number 57 from your Chicago Blackhawks, Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Hi, Trevor. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Excellent.
We're doing well. I don't know how to begin other than what is happening.
Yeah, it's been not so great lately, but we know what it takes to turn this around, and we just got to come out these next few games on this little road trip and take care of business.
I'm not worried. Being a Blackhawks fan, a relatively new Blackhawks fan within the last couple of years, April seems to be a time where things maybe don't – actually, March seems to be a time things aren't going that well. But in April, it's like things are all turned around.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of guys that have been through through a lot of games, a lot of great seasons, and they know what it takes. And obviously, we don't like to be playing the way we're playing right now, but like I said, we have guys in the locker room that know what it takes, and we all know what we need to do to become successful again.
Trevor, I was thinking as I was watching the game last night, for fans of the team, if you've watched the team the last 5, 6, 7 years, we're just not used to much by way of downtime. And then it occurred to me, it's the same exact thing for the players. Your whole time as a Blackhawk, you haven't had many, many hard stretches, have you?
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, there's definitely this little stretch here we're on is not great. But, yeah, being new here, I mean, obviously last year I was hurt for much of the year, so I didn't play too much. So, yeah, I haven't seen much of this. But we have, like I said, the coaching and the guys in the locker room who know how to approach it and know how to hopefully get us back on track pretty soon here.
And you're healthy, as you mentioned last year with the injuries. You're earning a lot of minutes on the ice, and you're a pretty darn versatile player.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. That's just something I try to do. I did it a little bit in college, whether it's playing on the left or the right. Just trying to do whatever they ask of me. And yeah, they're always giving you little helpful hints, whether it's the guys or the coaching staff, to make sure you can play your best. And yeah, just trying to learn as much as you can.
Speaking of your college years, my brother and sister-in-law always talk about enjoying your work. They live in New Hampshire, and they'd go see you when you played for the University of New Hampshire. You were their favorite player.
Oh, wow. I'm honored. But, yeah, my time there was a lot of fun. And, yeah, the school was great for me. The hockey was a lot of fun, and just the campus life, too. There's some great people there, and yeah, it was definitely some of the best years of my life. And then to come right to the Blackhawks, it's just, yeah, it can't seem to get any better.
Does your little brother play there now?
He's going to be there in the fall. So, yeah, my older brother James played there at New Hampshire. Then I went in, and now the youngest one just completing the trifecta there.
Very nice.
So nobody went up against the Van Riemsdyk brothers when you guys were playing street hockey or ice hockey, correct?
Yeah, we were battling against each other for the most part. So whether it was in our basement or in our driveway, we had some good games there with a lot of fun and some physical play from the brothers.
You're like an attractive version of the Hanson brothers from Slapshot, aren't you?
I take that as a compliment.
It is. It's a huge, huge compliment. So when there is some downtime, and like I said, none of us are accustomed to this from the Blackhawks. How does Coach Quinville handle things in the locker room? Is he a little angry? Is he confused by it? What does he say and do?
Yeah, I wouldn't say confused. I think he's been through every situation a number of times. He's one of the best coaches ever in the game. So he knows exactly what buttons to push. And and he knows what makes us successful, and he's just trying to push those buttons and preach those things that get us those better results, and just whether it's showing us things that we could be doing better or just coming ready to play. But he always seems to know exactly what buttons to push.
I love when people are watching the Hawks game with me and they're like, come on, oh my God, they're not doing well. I said, do you think they like losing either? I
right.
mean, seriously.
Sure.
It's easy to
exactly.
sit on your...
Yeah, no, it's tough for us too. Obviously, winning's a lot of fun, and but it's definitely tough, and yeah, we need to get back on those winning ways, and yeah, the losing part is we definitely all hate it in that locker room, and we want to turn it around quickly.
We're talking to Trevor Van Riemsdyk from the Chicago Blackhawks, fine defenseman. Trevor, was it a little nerve-wracking? Like we said, you were doing fine there in college, and then all of a sudden you're put on a team that had already done very well, won a Stanley Cup or two, and then you join the team. Are you a little bit nervous going, wow, I'm playing with some of hockey's best. I'm on the same line with some of the best players in hockey. It's got to rattle you a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a little nerve-wracking being in the locker room with some of the best players in the league now and some guys who are putting together some pretty impressive resumes and will probably be in the Hall of Fame. So it's definitely coming in your first year and seeing guys like Taser, Kaner, Hoss, Seeds, Dunks. I mean, the list can go on and on. So
sure.
Definitely as a new guy, you just kind of want to fit in and just pretty much just watch them, see what they do, because obviously there's a lot they do that makes them successful.
And speaking of the new guy, how cool was it to bring Lord Stanley to New Jersey?
That was a lot of fun, just to have it there for those 24 hours and to share it with my hometown. Yeah, a lot of people, see some smiling faces doing some of the different things. It was definitely really cool. It makes those moments that much more memorable.
Does it feel differently, like when you're playing in a regular season game, it's got to be just amplified like crazy as you go through the playoffs and into the finals? That just, the invigorating feeling must be indescribable.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy. You can definitely feel the magnitude of it all. Obviously, I kind of just came back in for the final, so I kind of went from those regular season games I played early in the year to those final games. You could definitely notice it ratcheted up a few levels there, but yeah, just even watching those playoff series and how tough you have to battle for every game, every win. So it's definitely really intense. And then when you get to the finals there, yeah, it's a whole nother level.
Watching the game last night, the point where Andrew Shaw scored, it was like so close to being high sticking in my view.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie O has taught me a lot when I watch the games, and it's so fun. And my 13-year-old son, Dylan, last night after the Hawks loss, he played NHL 2016 and tried to make it right. He tried to make it so the Hawks beat Dallas last night, but that didn't work either.
Oh, man.
Trevor, if I may, who is, of all the guys you have to cover as a defenseman, who's the guy you dread playing the most? Who do you just go, I don't know how this guy does it, but he's magical on the ice?
Yeah, there's a lot of obviously great players, especially within our division, whether it's Tarasenko on the Blues or Jamie Benn. Obviously, he's a bigger guy, and not only is he really skilled, but he's physically strong, and that makes him a tough challenge too. So there's just so many good guys on each team, and they all kind of pose their own unique problems. But yeah, a guy like Jamie Benn, who's so skilled and big and strong, and he can do a little bit of everything.
It's fun to follow you guys on Twitter. Thankfully, Captain Jonathan Toews just jumped on Twitter fairly recently, so it's really fun to keep up with things there. I think you should tweet more during the game, though.
Would that be distracting, Trevor, to skate and tweet at the same time?
Yeah, I think that might be frowned upon. I don't know.
Well, we're not worried. Seriously, it's like
you're going to be fine.
There's going to be a slump, and it's going to happen, and we'll turn it around. I'm not worried, and it's still a joy to watch the Hawks play.
Always.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, we're not panicked or worried. We just know that we got to start playing better, and we know what it takes to play better. We just got to go out there and do it.
How often do you wear the Stanley Cup ring? Do you wear that often, or is that in a safe place somewhere?
No, that's in safekeeping. I don't really pull that out too much, unless it's show a friend or a family member, kind of keep that in tucked away in a safe place.
Sure.
Nice to see Marian Hossa back, and hopefully Corey Crawford will be back sooner rather than later. It was nice to see Michael Layton getting some ice time in the net last night.
Yeah, no, it was good to see that. And I know Lates actually was in Philly when my brother was there, so James knows him a bit, and he's just he's a great guy, and you're nothing but happy for him to see him go in there and make some big saves for us.
Trevor, when you are playing against one of your brothers, what's that feel like? That's got to be crazy. Somebody you've known all your life, and you got to play against them. What does that do to you?
Yeah, no, it was pretty special. Last year, played against James in Toronto, and then unfortunately was hurt for the second one of last year, and then unfortunately he was hurt when we were going to play this year. So we've only had that one time, but it was something I'll never forget. I can kind of remember that game pretty vividly. So it was cool to have that, and my parents were there, my youngest brother was there, so it was definitely a pretty special memory.
I hope your brother realizes that your mom and dad are rooting for you in those games. You know that, right?
I don't know about that. My dad and mom both stay pretty neutral. My dad's got on his original six hat, so he knows how to stay right in the middle.
How does that work with siblings, though? Because last night, Johnny Oduya and, of course, Sharpie, you're going against them. And when you're going against a sibling, is the rivalry worse?
I don't know. I guess it all depends on the siblings, but we've always been pretty close and supportive of one another, so it's fun being out there. I don't think either one of us will be fighting with the other one. It won't be like when we were little in the basement.
Break it up, guys.
So it's more just a lot of fun being out there against them, and you want to see them be successful as possible. Just hopefully not against that.
Not too successful, right? Just the right amount of successful. I know the team's motto is one goal. What's your goal, Trevor? What are you hoping for?
Yeah, I just immediately here try to get everything turned around in the right direction and start playing the right way before the playoffs come. And then, once the playoffs get going, hopefully just have another successful first series and then just go from there.
It's a joy to watch you guys. It just seems like a big cohesive unit. You guys all get along, and we're going to turn it all around very soon, aren't we, Trevor?
Yes, that's the goal, and I'm looking forward to this last little bit of the season here and turning things around.
Well, good luck, Trevor. We love the team. We love the guys. The camaraderie is fantastic, and we hope nothing but for the best for this year's Chicago Blackhawks all the way through.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I don't know if this is jinxing it, but the people of New Jersey want to see the Cup again.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I'd love to.
You don't want to disappoint the people of New Jersey.
No.
You know that.
Yeah, I know that for sure.
Well, thank you, Trevor. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
take
Trevor.
Take care. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, number 57 for your Chicago Blackhawks. We'll take a quick break, and then more show coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, we briefly touched on the Jewel Monopoly game, and I am planning on winning the $1 million.
Are you going to win the million?
Or
the Jewel Monopoly?
$500 dream home.
Oh, that would be nice.
There's also $20,000 for college tuition, which wouldn't be bad either.
Right.
But I don't know if you play regularly.
I do not.
Didn't you used to?
I used to, and then I realized that I will not win, so I stopped playing to save time.
You're not the only one who thinks you won't win. Even the people at the Jewel don't think you're going to win.
They don't.
Well, here's what
happens.
They're
supposed to convince you are going to win.
I just spend my money, and if you notice little tickets that say you get a Monopoly piece on this particular item,
sure.
The items vary.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's double your things. I swear I think they like Jimmy Mack more than me because he comes home with a big stack.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you open it, you can get an instant winner ticket in addition to the little game pieces that you put on the board.
Right.
And sometimes you'll get like an instant winner that says get two Monopoly pieces on your next
oh,
visit.
Oh, good.
Sometimes
two
you
more
get,
chances to not win.
I'm going to win.
Well, I know you are, but for other, I'm just warning other people.
I I will get into the jewel people as well. All but right. So you can also win, in addition to the instant winner, you can win like $25 off Snapple. I mean, 25 cents. Sorry.
I was going to say, you're paying way too much for Snapple.
No, 25 cents.
You're getting a $25 off coupon.
And I swear to you, last year, all I wanted, just give me something. Give me the $5 gift card. Give me something.
Not a lot to ask.
Didn't win anything.
All right.
Well, you also get these little codes that come in the...
I've seen these. You go online, you type in a... 41-digit number,
right.
And it tells you what your piece is.
I have a lot of these that I have to type in.
Yeah.
Do you go through the trouble to do it,
nope.
Or did you?
Nope.
I did. And I had 3 out of the 50 that said you could be a potential winner. Now, the key word being potential.
And could be.
Yeah, I think
they don't want to commit to anything.
I'm sure it was one or the other.
It's possible that there's a way that you could be a potential winner.
Right. So what you do is you have to log in and get an account, and you click print here, and it prints a thing that has your numbers, and then you affix your coded number ticket, and you bring it to the Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says you can cash it in any line. You don't have to go to customer service. So I get this young girl at the Jewel. And I said, yes, I have some instant winner tickets to add. Mm-hmm. And then I have these that I could be a potential winner.
Oh.
And she just looked at me. She's probably 18 years old. She was under 21 because she couldn't ring up my beer.
Oh.
And she said, oh, yeah, that's just good for 2 more Monopoly tickets. And I said, really? That's it? I could
like
be a potential winner here.
Well, but that still, it fits the vein of you could be a potential winner. Even if it's just 1 or 2 tickets, it's still saying there's a chance.
Yeah, but so
it's
I
a
said,
slim chance.
Are you sure you don't have to scan this code or something? I mean, how do you know that it's just good for the 2 tickets? And she said, because that's what it's good for. So when I get home, I go online and I find out that if you punch in these codes, you could be a potential winner of $10,000, a car, a $5 gift card, which I still won't win.
Uh-huh.
So what do? I call customer service at the Jewel and I said, I was just there about 10 minutes ago. And I know this is going to sound crazy, and I know I'm going to be a pain in your ass, but I went to this terminal.
Yeah.
And my coupons were affixed to 4 pieces of typing paper. They were folded in half. I was just there 20 minutes ago.
Right.
The girl just told me it was good for 2 extra Monopoly tickets, but now I go online and I see that, you know, I could win $10,000. And he goes, you're not going to win.
Oh.
I said, well, it says that I can.
No,
he just didn't want to go through the stuff.
Oh.
So he's like, oh, God, what register? What terminal is it? And I said, oh, my goodness. It was the blonde under 21-year-old. Yeah, but I need to know the terminal. Where would that information be? Do you have your receipt? Yes.
Oh.
Terminal 7.
Yeah.
So I say, oh, right here, terminal 7. And he goes, all right, what's your number? I'll call you back. And he calls me back within 5 minutes, and I look at the phone, and it says Jewel, and I said, this is it. I'm a winner.
My ticket to ride. You're set. You're on Easy Street.
He told me that it says right on the little side of the thing I printed, good for 2 Monopoly tickets.
That's all you get.
Yeah. And
but I hate to be on their side. I'm not, but
it's fine.
You could be a winner.
I know, but then you just... It needs to be bigger. You've won 2. I'm excited to get the 2 game tickets that aren't going to make me a winner either.
Right.
But I thought, you know, wow, what if I won a car and this girl didn't even check and she just stashed it away in her cash bag.
Did you demand that that girl be fired immediately?
No. And I said, I don't want to get her in trouble. It's not her fault or anything.
But
I just wanted to know if maybe I was a winner. And he said, no, it says right here. And I found your 4 folded together on typing paper. And I'm like, oh, my God, thank you so much. And I asked his name. And I don't want to give it away because he said I would never win. But I said, if I did, that I'm going to come give him a little something.
Oh, you would. Well, how nice is that?
And then I hang up. I thank him so much for going through the extra trouble.
Yeah.
And about 2 minutes later, the phone rings again.
Is it like, Jewel?
Yes. I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. This is it.
Right.
He just wanted me to know that he went through each and every one of those winning things, and each and every one of those
2
was
tickets?
Only good for 2 extra Monopoly tickets.
As the girl told you at the beginning.
I didn't believe her.
Well, you have to.
She's not legal. She's a minor.
I know.
I don't believe minors.
I know. But if, like, people came to you all day with these tickets, and every single time they processed one, you got 2 free tickets, you'd start to accept it, wouldn't you? Wouldn't
well,
you
just... yeah, now that I know, but you go online and it says the online game.
Oh, I know, but they're playing with your emotions.
Give me my ticket back,
Here's
by the
way.
Give
your ticket back. No, this one might be a winner. I'm keeping this one.
You could be a potential winner.
Possibly, maybe.
So they don't think I'm going to win at the Jewel, but they were very, very helpful and
were
went
they?
Through all the receipts
well,
just
that?
To let
Good.
Me know I lost.
Good. Do you feel better now?
Yes.
Sure. All right. Let's take a quick break. Steve has the news. And then a story that you will definitely be moved by. I won't go into detail now, but trust me on this one. A very, very moving story coming your way in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's us. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. I read a piece yesterday on a website called The Establishment. Actually, it was reprinted on Huffington Post, but it originated at The Establishment. I want to read just a little bit of it to you, just a paragraph or two. Sometimes you have to face hard truths by stating the painful facts baldly. I am 33. I have never been kissed. The only guy who ever wanted to hold hands with me was killing time while he tried to find somebody hot enough to date. I know this because that's what he told my housemate when he hit on her. To the best of my knowledge, no one has seen me in person. No one who has seen me in person has ever been attracted to me. I'm not catcalled or harassed. The only relationships I've ever had online. The only boyfriend who met me offline would not do more than give me a hug. I have met potential partners from the internet only to watch the interest in their eyes die when they see me. I often feel like the only woman on the face of the planet who no one is attracted to.
That is not true, Joy Weaver.
Well, see, that's the problem. Everyone likes to tell me that it's not true, but I'd like to think that I'm the expert on my own life.
I'm curious as to why you wrote this. Obviously, you're feeling bad about it, but I've seen your picture. You're a lovely girl. You're a sci-fi fan. You'd like to go to Mars someday. I mean, I just don't understand. Do you make yourself approachable when you meet these people? Are you standoffish? What, I mean, I don't understand.
Well, you know, I've never had any real trouble in social settings. I mean, not since I was an awkward teenager.
Right.
I don't really have any trouble making friends. This seems to be the way that life has happened. And the interesting thing is, part of the reason that I wrote this was because I knew it couldn't be just me. I couldn't be the only one. And in the few days since this piece had come out, I have been bombarded by stories from other people saying, yes, I could have written this. This is my story, too. I just never told anyone because, you know, because I was afraid or because I was ashamed or I was afraid how people would respond to me. So I know it's not a unique story. It's just not one that we hear very often.
Joy, I was so moved when I read this yesterday, and I thought to myself, I'm not in the business of feeling sorry for people, and I don't think you wrote this for people to feel sorry for you. I hope that you wrote this to wake people up. It sure woke me up, as if to say, we're walking on a planet where people like yourself are feeling unloved, and it shouldn't be that way.
Right, and you know, you're right. I didn't write it for anyone to feel sorry for me. The main thing I wanted to do is say, hey, look, people have a really wide range of experience and lack of experience. Rather than demonizing any part of that, let's just open it all up and say, hey, this is your experience? Okay, that's fine. You know, if you want to change it, okay, we can, you know, there's maybe some things that you can try, but you know, if you have no experience, that's okay. If you have lots of experience, that's also okay. I want to make it so that everyone can share their story regardless of what that story is.
Yeah.
You're 33 years old. Are you still 33?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm sorry, but you probably realize this, but it's you shouldn't throw in the towel because you're still pretty young. I was 35 when I got married, and I kissed a lot of frogs before I found my prince. So I don't know who's better off here.
Well, you know, I think it's the comparison that's the problem. You know, I'm thrilled for my friends who married straight out of college. I'm thrilled for my friends who found someone at the age of 40. You know, and I'm also, you know, having a great time talking with the women who are like me and haven't found anyone yet. And I haven't thrown in the towel. You know, I'm on Tinder. I go out to social stuff. I'm not staking my entire life on it anymore at this point.
Well, you're right.
I have a life that I'm going to live, and If someone else is a part of it, great. But if not, I'm not going to let that cripple me.
You wrote toward the end of the article here, you wrote, the question I find myself facing now is whether or not to keep trying. Isn't it part of us to not want to give up and part of us to say, well, the right guy just hasn't come along yet? But then by the same token, if you've gone 33 years, you say to yourself, do I want to keep putting myself up for disappointment over and over and over, right?
Right. You know, there's only so much disappointment that you can really handle. I mean, and that's going to change from season to season. One year you may be able to handle a lot of it. Another year you just kind of need to sit back and say, no, I need to focus on other stuff for a while. And for me, I guess the thing is focusing on where I'm going to get the most payoff. And it's not that I would deny a relationship that presented itself, but I really don't want to make it into a full-time or part-time job.
Right.
You know, I've got my writing career that I want to do. I'm interested in, as you mentioned, all the space stuff and getting to know more about that. There's other things that I want to do, and I'm just not, at this point, I'm not interested in devoting that much time to changing this particular aspect of my life.
They always say, you know, things happen when you're not searching so hard for it. And take us through, I mean, you've been on dates and stuff. You said you're on Tinder. I mean, what happens at the end of the night? Did they shake your hand? I mean, what happens?
Well, the date thing is a little tricky. Like I said, all of my relationships have been online to some extent.
That's your first problem. Only, you need to meet face to face.
Well, you know, it's a way of meeting people. Not all of those were long distance.
Oh, okay.
Just that's where they started, because that's, you know, it's an easy place to meet people with similar interests. But yeah, so far everything's just ended with, you know, a handshake or something like that. So, you know, it's just, and again, it's not a unique thing. I've talked to lots of other girls who have been on lots of dates, or sometimes very few dates. The stories vary. And same thing happens, and there's no overarching connection. We all look different. We are all different sizes, different ethnicities. You know, sometimes it's just the way life works out.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Joy Weaver. Joy has wrote an incredibly eye-opening piece called 33 and Never Been Kissed. It appears at The Establishment, the website The Establishment. Huffington Post ran it yesterday. So you talked about talking with other women who have been in similar circumstances, Joy. But my guess is there's guys, too, who fit this category. Wouldn't there be?
And probably a lot of those guys are sci-fi fans. How come we can't hook you up?
I have heard from a couple of the sci-fi fans. And I will admit, the guys that I dated have been all geeks, because that's what I like. I've got to have someone who understands my references.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Star Wars and Dune, from what I read, right? Are those the references?
Those are my two favorites.
Yeah.
I can turn just about anything into a Dune reference. I even made a stuffed bread that looked like a giant sandworm for Christmas breakfast.
Boy, you know, if my husband wasn't married to me, he'd be all over
in
you.
In a minute.
Because he's a Star Wars podcaster at Rebel Force Radio, so you should check that out.
Oh, okay.
Joy, you say, and again, I'm going to, it's a direct quote from the piece you wrote, 33 and Never Been Kissed. I've sat through countless conversations with groups of women praying that the conversation wouldn't turn to sex. So what happens when that happens? You're not experienced, as you've said. You haven't kissed a man. You've not been with a man. So when they start talking about sex, what do you do during that?
I spend a lot of time smiling and nodding.
Yeah.
Kind of like a 12-year-old who hasn't had sex does when their friends are bragging about their, you know, their exploits.
I know a little bit more than a 12-year-old at this point.
Yeah.
It's one of the same coping mechanisms. Of course, that could change now that my quote-unquote secret is out.
Had you not told your friends about this prior to you writing the piece?
I told a couple, and a couple of them who've been friends with me for a long time just knew, because, you know, they've been with me since college and have been there for some of the disastrous occasions. So some people just knew. Some people I'd actually talked about it with. You know, again, the big thing is most people just assume. They assume that if you're 33, you have a certain level of experience, and they don't ever think that it could really be otherwise.
Right.
So that's been the interesting thing, is talking to people who have said, wow, I simply never thought about this before.
Have you, I know this is a personal question, but honestly, this whole thing is every part of this is personal.
Buckle up, Joy.
Have you considered using some sort of a surrogate? I know that seems crazy.
Oh my
but,
God, she doesn't need a surrogate, but, a kissing surrogate.
No, not a kissing surrogate, but for something more sexual.
Oh,
have you even considered
happen,
that?
Joy.
Now, you know, I'm really not interested in that. For me, a lot of the whole attraction thing is based on emotional connection.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would really, I just don't think it would work for me. If that works for other people, that's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever's going to make their life better, but I don't think it would actually achieve its purpose with me.
You also write that we, a society, we've turned virginity into something of a punchline, and that's true. We do, right?
Yeah. In fact, it was actually pretty uncomfortable around the time that the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin came out, because I thought, well,
you're not there yet.
No, but there are a lot of people who are and have friends who are.
Right.
Like, you know, it's a little bit frustrating to see something that's personal and painful be treated only as a joke.
And let's say the scenario, and I'm sure this has probably happened at some point, where a friend finds out about your circumstances, says, you know what, we're going to fix you up. I know a guy. What's your reaction when somebody says that?
Well, usually there's just absolutely zero connection with the guy. It has happened a time or two. And one time it actually did lead to a date, and he never spoke to me afterwards.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it happens occasionally, but the emotional connection is just not there. And that for me is the primary thing. It's got to be someone that I can initially laugh with and then, you know, feel comfortable talking to and debating things with. That has got to be in place first.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, I just feel like Joy Weaver on the line with us, 33 years old, never been kissed. That's not a problem, in my opinion. You have a lot going on. You're still young, and there's still time. So I don't know why. I guess friends would try and fix you up, but you're not damaged goods because you haven't been with someone. There's a lot of people who are single their whole lives.
Exactly. And, you know, so much of it is I want people to understand that even if you never have that kind of a relationship with someone, you still have value. You're still a full human adult with the full human experience. You may not have a piece of it, but there are other things that you do have, and you're not less of a person. You're not less of an adult in any way.
Joy, the society we live in is a couples-based society. Just merely walking down the street, you see men and women or men and men and women, women paired off together. Is there ever a feeling of either animosity or just wonderment where you just say to yourself, well, what does that guy have or what does that girl have that I don't have? How did they manage to find somebody and I can't?
Sure. I mean, I'm human. I have my moments where I'm just frustrated and go, look, this person is less, you know, appears less than me in certain qualities.
Yeah.
Why can't I find someone? I'll admit my most difficult time is going over to people's houses and they have really nice cookware.
Yeah.
That they were given during a bridal shower.
Oh.
And I have, you know, dollar just from the thrift store because no one throws a shower for the single girls.
Yeah.
That gets really frustrating. But at the same time, you know, most of the time we're talking about people who are my close friends. I'm friends with both them and their spouses. You know, in one case, I'm godmother to my best friend's daughter. And overall, I'm really happy for them. You know, would I like to join them at some point? Sure. But if I don't, I'm still going to be happy for them.
Joy, hang on a second. We got to take a quick break, and then we have a couple of listeners who have maybe some suggestions for Joy Weaver, 33 years old, never been kissed, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. We're talking to Joy Weaver, and you can find her article at Huffington Post or theestablishment.co. Joy wrote an article entitled 33 and Never Been Kissed. And we have a texter that has a question for you, Joy. It seems like you're kind of okay with this, so why write the article? Are you trying to get more people to contact you so perhaps you can have that first kiss?
And Joy, before you answer, I want to side on the I don't think you're okay with this. So where are you on this?
Well, it's kind of, in one sense, I'm okay with it in the sense that I have made my peace that this is where I am and that this may continue. Would I prefer for it to be otherwise? Yes, but there's only a certain extent to which I'm going to go to change that. You know, I'm not going to turn trying to find a date into a full-time job.
And someone else said that, you know, it seems, and we don't know you, but from what we've heard you say, it seems like you're looking for romance and total commitment after the first date. I mean, that's something where you click with someone. You're laughing. That's not what you're doing. I mean, you click with someone, you have like date number two. Hey, let's go to C2E2. Let's go out for pizza afterwards. I mean, can't you build up a relationship that way and let it move gradually?
Well, let me go back to the first question that didn't quite get answered about why I wrote the story. And a lot of that was just for because I knew I wasn't the only one out there. And I figured, okay, I'm at a point in my life where I'm okay enough with my story to share it. I'm going to share it to the people who are not yet at that point who need to know they're not alone. As to the thing about expecting, you know, huge romance and commitment after the first date, I'm not really looking for that. I'm fine with, you know, going out on a date or two and then discovering we're better off as friends. Okay, cool. Or if it takes, you know, a year of bowling and pizza to get to a more, I don't know what you want to call it, another level, I'm cool with that too. But I do have to have at least that connection that exists with my friendships where we can laugh, we can talk. It has to at least have that.
Sure.
All right, well, we have to let you go. We wish you very good luck in whatever it is you're searching, because I think I'm still unclear as to whether or not you're cool with this or not. But 312 says, buy nice cookware for yourself, take vacations on your own, treat yourself, don't let being single deprive you of anything. And then we got a dude who looked you up and says that you're beautiful and if, you know, he'd really like to meet up with you if you like older men, and we can pass along his phone number to you.
I'm not sure about that. If you feel like sending it to me, maybe.
All right.
All right.
Well, at the very beginning of this, Joy, we said you wrote, part of what you wrote is, the question I find myself facing now is whether or not to keep trying. Honestly, I'm getting all kinds of reads from you that you don't want to give up, and I urge you not to give up. I know you say in here you're a fan of movies, and movies aren't supposed to play out this way. I see a happy ending for you. I know it seems
that's what she's hoping
nearly
for.
Impossible, but trust me, you got it all going on. It's just finding the right guy to realize that.
Well, I would like to think that someone would eventually, but if they don't, then I can accept making my own happy ending.
Sure.
Yeah, then it wasn't meant
to
be. I don't know. Sometimes I believe in there's a soulmate out there for everyone, and sometimes I don't. So just believe in yourself and keep having fun, and maybe we'll run into you at, you know, C2E2 or one of the new Star Wars movies.
Absolutely.
Joy, seriously, the piece is so moving and so well written, and we hope nothing but the best for you. So good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. Thanks
Absolutely.
For having me on.
Hang on, Joy. We'll give you the phone number of that guy.
Joy Weaver is her name. Again, the piece is called 33 and Never Been Kissed. You can find it at theestablishment.co. or at Huffington Post. We're going to take a quick break, and Steve has the news. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thank you so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Thrilled that you're listening. If you want to participate, 312-981-7200. That's the phone line and the text line.
Share your good news with Steve Bertrand.
Steve, during the news, I got a phone call, and I've won a Norwegian cruise, so I'm going to be taking a Norwegian cruise somewhere.
Holy cow.
How about that?
Is it in Norway?
I don't know where they're heading. I just
nice.
Know it's a Norwegian cruise, and they sounded very excited for me on the air on
That's
the phone.
Very exciting. I'm happy for you.
How can they do that? Haven't you applied for the Do Not Call list? Because you can put your cell phone and your landline.
Right.
Yes, I still have a landline.
But it doesn't apply to politicians, and Norwegian Cruise and Ted Cruz are obviously
right.
family members. So I guess this comes through his camp.
It just drives me insane. And you're so calm. You said, I'm getting a phone call. This is all during the commercial break. I'm getting a phone call. And you look very excited because you don't get a lot of calls.
It's the first call I've ever had.
Judy Markey called me once years ago.
Yeah?
And I answered the phone. I said, how did you get this number? No one ever calls me.
I'll call you.
No, I don't want to hear you.
And I call you. You don't answer.
No, so I know better.
He was very excited. He's like, it can't be Wendy because she's right here. So
right.
You're like, hang on, I'm getting a call. And you're like, hello? And he just said, Oh my gosh, yeah. I just won a Norwegian cruise.
So I'm heading out there.
I press 1 if I want to accept.
Well, it said press 1 to hear the details of the cruise or 2 to be taken off their call list, but I know the way the world works. If I press 2, then I'm going to be on a bigger call list and I'll win things left and right, and yeah, I don't want that.
And who needs to hear the details? The cruise is enough.
Right. Okay. So I probably won't be here tomorrow.
But the...
I'm going on the cruise.
It's that quick?
With Brent Mulvey. Yeah.
Someone wants to know when your next excellent adventure with your best friend in the whole wide world, Grant Mulvey, is.
We never know. Stuff just happens, and we go to it, and we have fun.
Turns out you're in a fjord somewhere with Grant Mulvey.
Right.
How do we get here?
Right. That's what I love about life, Steve. It's unpredictable.
When's the last time you've been in a fjord?
It's been longer than I care to admit to.
But how could you be screwing yourself by hitting take me off the list by hitting 2?
Like if you get an email that says it'll tell you something about ways to save money on something, and then it says if you want to be removed from this list, hit this, and then
unsubscribe, and you do.
No, but it's their way because they send these out blindly. They just send them out to random addresses. But if you respond to it even negatively, as if to say I don't want you to bother me anymore, that says to them that's a real person. So you're on a bigger list.
Wow, that's Bill's world, I think.
No, it's true.
You can unsubscribe. I've done it several times, although look at how many emails I have on my phone still. I had to buy more space on Google.
I can't even count that high. What number is that?
64,000.
You have 64,456 emails that you have not deleted.
Yeah, I got to go through it. That's a project.
That would take you the rest of your life to get rid of all those.
Yeah, I got to go through it.
You don't have to go through it.
Are they not deleted?
No, they're not deleted.
Sometimes I need to search for people's names from 5 years ago.
64,000 people?
That's impossible.
Not all the same thing. I don't,
too many.
So do I just go in and delete everything? I just had to spend $20 to get more Google Drive.
So you're
buying
more space rather than delete.
You can't
Welcome
do it yourself.
To my life.
You got to get those 1-800-GOT-JUNK people to come in and get rid of those for you.
I got You'll junk get a hernia. On my phone.
I'm telling you, that's why I bought this book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. We're going to have Marie Kondo on the show because I can't.
Tell her that, she's going to hang up on us.
No,
when you say to her, you've got.
Me.
I don't even think a professional's ready for that number, a number that high.
I'm not the only one that has this.
But
my husband has 72,000.
Oh, my God. You know, there's a file. Like, if I know this, everyone knows
this. Let's hear you, Mr. Computer.
There's a file where if there's an email you want to save, if there's one that you think you'll ever need, you just hit it, and it's like a file for just saved numbers. And
takes too much time. I just leave them all
man.
There.
Man, if you started today, you would not be done by Christmas in deleting all those.
If you did one a day, it would take you 64,000 days.
How about that?
You're good,
Thank
Bertrand.
You. Uh-huh.
You're going to look like Buddy Ebsen's mom by the time you're done with this.
No, 64,000 days.
Right.
You know, right. I went to, I subscribe to everything.
Is that good?
No.
It's not good. That's clutter.
Welcome to my world.
I only have like 12 emails that I've not gotten rid of. You have 64,000.
I don't know where to start. See, I'm overwhelmed, so then I just leave it and get a new phone every time I'm out of space.
Has the Guinness book called yet, Kevin? They have? They've not. They're going to call you at some point. There's going to be a page for you.
We're about due for another Guinness Book of World Records guest, by the
way.
I know.
It's been a couple of days.
All right, can I get serious for a minute? We'll take a break, and then can we get serious?
Sure.
Because I found something on BuzzFeed because I get their emails that tell me what's happening. But see, sometimes it's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
There are some leaked ISIS documents that tell stories of hundreds of foreign jihadis. These are people who wanted to apply to ISIS. And there's a very scary looking application form that looks like it's a mask, doesn't it?
It is. It's shaped just like a mask. And we'll get into the details of it. But so this is like almost like a job application for ISIS, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, all the documents. I have some information, and it's startling.
All right. We'll cover that in just a little bit. It's Bill Effen and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, Bill, in subscribing to many of these sites, like this one, BuzzFeed, for instance, I get numerous emails. Sometimes they turn out to be very valuable. Sometimes they sit in my, on my phone, 64,457.
That's a lot of emails that have not been deleted.
since you last mentioned it.
Yeah.
So now this article came out. Leaked ISIS documents tell the stories of hundreds of foreign jihadis. Dateline Istanbul, a bookseller from northern England, a driving instructor from Tunisia, a sports trainer from France, a trader, a mechanical engineer from Germany. These were among the thousands of people who flocked to ISIS as it gathered strength in Syria in 2013 and 2014. The early soldiers, it would soon declare, when they entered ISIS territory, they filled out these arrival forms, their personal data logged into computers by the clerks of an aspiring state. Now, a cache of this data that was leaked from ISIS and obtained by BuzzFeed News. I don't think ISIS is going to leak this stuff.
I'd be surprised. I don't know what would be in it for them to leak this, but okay.
Well, it says that this is actual, these are actual, basically applications to be in ISIS.
Huh.
So we learned something about the recruits who want to join. And
it's like filling out a job application almost, isn't it?
Yeah. Each document could not be immediately verified, though some relatives listed as emergency contacts confirmed that the data about their loved ones was correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. When reached by telephone this week, there was a Saudi student who applied, and the mother of that student said she had received word that he was killed in Syria about a year after he called to say he was joining ISIS. Despite her protests,
right.
A man in Tunisia said his brother had been an unsuccessful baker, but was now making really good money with ISIS. A father of three with multiple wives and slaves who sent $500 home each month to his family. Oh. So that's the draw. They're getting money. Although I just feel like ISIS doesn't pay well.
I wasn't sure until then, and I'm still not 100% sure that there is some sort of a pay structure within ISIS.
And then the mother.
Do you ask for a raise at some point?
Oh,
if
God,
you're in...
no. They tell you what's going on.
Well, no, there has been reporting that they've cut salaries because of, they're running out of money and that the military campaign is working against them.
Really?
Yeah. So they have, I think that's been pretty well documented that they have cut back on what they're actually paying people.
It's just weird. If you're twisted enough to join ISIS, it's strange that a point of contention could be. You're asking salary, right? When you sit down with them and go, look, I was hoping for this.
My contract says six holidays.
Right.
Yeah, but who's going to fight with them if you're not getting what you originally agreed on?
Exactly.
You give way to that, right. I won't bring my son anymore.
Right.
Three analysts tracking ISIS said after viewing the cache of documents that the data appeared to be genuine.
Hmm.
Here are some, for instances, of people. Some of the forms belong to well-known jihadis, such as Douglas McCain, a one-time aspiring rapper from Minnesota who was the first American reported to have died fighting for ISIS in August 2014. His form says he arrived in Syria that March and lists his nom de guerre, which is his war name, as Abu Jihad al-Amriki.
Mm-hmm.
Others have stayed off the radar.
That could have been his rapper name, too. It almost sounds like a rapper name, doesn't it? He's a rapper in Minnesota? Is there a big call for rapping in Minnesota?
That's probably why he joined ISIS, because
right.
He wasn't making
it. Not enough
it.
Work.
Others have stayed off the radar. During a counterterrorism raid in Brussels on Tuesday, police killed a man they later identified as Mohamed Belkade, a 35-year-old Algerian. A form in the cache says Belkade reached Syria from Turkey in 2014 with a request to be a suicide attacker. So you put that down on your application. Position applying for?
Suicide attacker. Wow.
A Belgian counterterrorism officer, speaking on condition of anonymity because he wasn't authorized to speak to the press, told BuzzFeed News that authorities had been searching for Belkade for some time and believed he was linked to ISIS's November 13 terror attacks in Paris.
Mm.
Although the guy, the key suspect in the Paris attacks, whom they did apprehend, Salah Abdeslam, he was not among the cache of the data that was released.
Oh, he wasn't.
A few Americans listed in the forms, but dozens of European citizens from countries like Britain, Germany, and France. Most are from the Middle East. A handful of media outlets have reported receiving either the same or similar documents as of late. German authorities are reportedly in possession of such files as well and believe them to be genuine.
Yeah.
So do they take this leaked cache of documents and try and find these people? Does that become a most wanted list?
I don't know.
When
I'm
you get
sure.
their documents?
I don't know. So when you fill out one of these applications, I keep wanting to say job applications, and I guess essentially if you're getting paid, it is a job application. This is done online? Do you fill this out online, or do you stop by the home office? How are you getting this job application? And once you have it, who do you give it to?
I don't know, but they're asking for contacts, for color of your eyes. It's really scary.
Yeah.
To know that these.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Dead.
Like all the usual questions. If you had to pick your greatest fault, what would it be? Are those the standard questions that are on their job application, like on every other job application?
See, I have a big mouth, so I would be bad for ISIS because I would blow the story before
right.
it happened.
Don't put that on the job application. Leave yeah. it off.
I remember earlier in the day we learned that my code name was Blabby.
Yes. Don't mention that to them.
You put your occupation, you put your marital status, your blood type, emergency contacts, country of origin, your education, and your work history.
Yeah. It says here you worked at Zayer from 1973 to 1977. That's correct.
They had great pizza at Zayer.
Yes.
It's just scary. And I feel like the more we find out information, it has to help us, right?
I would have met. Yeah. Yeah.
Kids,
if it's accurate.
If you're listening, don't join ISIS. They make you promises. They're not
going
to keep it.
A very good point.
Ask for a raise.
Right, right. They're not good with that. They're not good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We have the news. Steve will give you the news and then a little bit more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, they have announced the lineup for Lollapalooza. This is the 25th anniversary? Is that true? It says 25 years of Lollapalooza. I guess it's true. I will read you the lineup and you can do what I did and go, who? Because I know who some of, I know, I think you will probably know the same bands that I knew. No, I need to point this out. Tickets went on sale for Lollapalooza, was it yesterday or the day before, and sold out in 40 minutes.
Today was the single ticket. The original was the whole weekend.
Right.
And what's the single ticket, like $125? So what's
like
the whole
that.
Weekend?
I think it's $335.
That's not bad. But I can't bring myself to pay for it.
Well,
I know you can come and go as you please.
Sure.
And you can stay as little or as long as you want. But, oh, my God, there are just too many people.
Well, I'm looking at the list, and I would say roughly I'm looking at 55 or 60 bands.
No,
in three
I don't
days.
Mean bands.
Oh,
I
you
mean
the
like,
audience?
Yes.
It is a lot. It is a lot of very sweaty music fans. It is.
I'm okay with that in small doses, but, you know, I really want to take my kids there just to see it, but
right.
there are maybe five bands out of the 80 that I would like to see.
I'll tell you who's going to play there this year. And there are some big name acts that if you're a fan of music, and actually, what do I know? There's plenty of names on here that I'm sure you and I have never heard of that are magnificent. I don't know who they are. I marvel at the fact that people bought the tickets, had no idea. I mean, there were rumors of who was going to play there, but that didn't stop anybody. They sold it out in 40 minutes.
And they always do. And God love Perry Farrell. We talked to him about this, and he's the greatest guy.
He
and
is.
He's really started a really fantastic thing because buying things sight unseen, you know you're going to find something you enjoy.
Absolutely. There's something for everybody here. The Lennon Sisters, Wendy, will be at
Lollapalooza. They are nuts.
Radiohead. That's
they
pretty
are?
Good. Radiohead.
I thought they broke up.
Radiohead.
No.
Will
I think
be
they have
there.
A new album coming out eventually, or they're working on one.
Yep.
I love them.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers will
oh,
be
yeah.
performing.
Love
at
them.
Lollapalooza. Either
I would like to wipe the sweat off of Anthony Kiedis.
That's
you
gross.
Could, you could sign up for that.
Wait.
I bet there will be.
You said I could sign up for it. How? Why is that gross, Kevin?
You want to? Do I have to really explain why that's a gross?
He's got
thing?
A great body.
All right.
But to wipe a man's sweat off, I mean. You gotta. That's a commit. You gotta commit to that.
I would commit to that.
This is either a band or the type of music system they're using. LCD sound system. Is that a band or is that something that?
That's a band.
That is a band.
I
right?
use them to bump in for you guys sometimes.
Do you? What song would we know from LCD sound system?
North American Scum. It was in Step Brothers. Daft Punk is playing at my house.
Currently.
I thought, who's the band that... That's who I thought LCD Sound
Is that Miami Sound Machine? I don't know who that is.
Well, sounds in the world.
J. Cole will be performing at Lollapalooza. Do we know J. Cole, Kevin? Is that somebody we know?
I'm not big on J. Cole.
You're not big because you don't know him? Or?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Now, this is one of my favorite performers of today, and you always make fun of me, but I love Lana Del Rey. The feel-good music of Lana Del Rey.
I just really, if it rains, if it's 100 degrees, which a lot of times it is, yeah. and you're listening to Lana Del Rey,
yeah.
that would be my last day on earth.
It is a little bit melancholy. A little
bit. Are they playing?
A little bit melancholy will be on one of the side stages.
M-E-L-L-O-N right. and then Collie, the
right.
dog.
Yes. It's the guys from Blind Melon.
I guess then, Melon has one L unless you're right. from Melon from SCTV.
Right, right. Future. We'll be playing at Lollapalooza, the band Future. Here's another band. A performer, Ellie Goulding. You know who she is?
Why are you laughing at Grandpa?
That's exactly why.
Is Future
it's
popular?
Charming.
Is Future
yeah.
very? Are
yeah.
they?
It's not know. Really a band. It's an R&B artist.
Never heard of it.
All right. Ellie Goulding is very, very talented. Love
Who's
her.
That?
She's great. She sings songs about lights. She does.
You're
Doesn't
actually
she, Kevin?
More tuned in to this than I
she
am.
She sings a song about lights.
Speaking of lights,
Major Lazer.
I love Major Lazer.
Oh
Major
my God.
Lazer, Wendy.
They're
be performing.
Awesome.
Yep. Disclosure is a band or just them admitting
well,
to
Well, they're
who's
disclosing this list.
Oh, they're
so
disclosing the list.
This is a disclosure.
Jane's Addiction.
Love them. Really
now, why
do.
Why are they getting ninth billing? Jane's Addiction is a big deal, but they're billed ninth in this.
Wouldn't it be weird, though, if Perry Farrell put like his own band on number one? Like the number one slot.
Yeah, they shouldn't even be on the list because we're assuming they're playing.
And right. they haven't really done too much recently.
But they don't, even though this is Perry Farrell's thing, Jane's Addiction isn't there every year, are they?
I don't know if they play every year. I know they did. I'm pretty sure they played last year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Flume.
Oh, yeah.
You like Flume? Are you a Flume fan?
I don't even know what Flume means.
G-Eazy will be
oh,
there.
Oh, what it is. Yo, what's up?
I don't know. Is G-Eazy a rapper, Kev?
I could assume so.
Yeah, G-Eazy is a rapper, Kevin says, probably. the 1975.
I know that band, I think.
This is their 41st anniversary. Did you know that?
They're not 45.
They'll do some of their old hits, I bet. The 1975. That's a big band. You got to have a big stage for those guys. Haim. I hope,
is
I believe,
Corey?
Named after Corey Haim, the late, great Corey Haim. I think.
I bet
hope.
It is.
Yeah.
And I bet it's the other Corey using...
Corey Feldman?
Yeah.
Is using, he capitalizing yeah. on Corey Haim's success?
Right. I'm the living one.
That's their first song. M83.
Bingo.
Will be performing there. Right. You can win prizes. Two Door Cinema Club. Now, I've heard Two Door Cinema Club. I like them. I don't know the name of their song, but I like them.
They probably only have one song?
They only have the one song. Two Doors, One Song. That's their motto. Halsey, who is the admiral from a Paul McCartney song from many
right.
years ago. Chris Stapleton, the son of Whitey Stapleton, who played for the Blackhawks.
No, Chris Stapleton, I was turned on to by Saturday Night Live, and he is awesome.
What sort of music does Chris Stapleton play?
Twangy, would yeah. that be safe to say, Kevin?
Kind of a country feel then?
Like, yeah, kind of country rock. I will tell you that a lot of times I have no idea who the band is on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
But I watch it every weekend. And
sometimes you find somebody you like.
That's how I originally came to adore Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
I saw them on there.
They're
and then
great.
I went to see them at UIC and the National opened up for them. And it,
I love the National.
Oh, my God. It's kind of Johnny Cash-y, in my opinion.
Is it? Yeah.
Not really country, though, at all.
No. But the voice. The
it's
voice
just a deep
quality.
Voice, yeah.
yeah. It's really cool. But that kind of opened the floodgates of me going to shows again.
Oh, yeah.
But Lollapalooza is too much for me to handle in one day.
It is pretty intense.
In 3 days.
It is pretty intense. Now, here's a band I know nothing about, but I love this name. So far, this is the greatest band name of the lineup, Flostradamus.
Flostradamus.
Oh, I like Flostradamus better.
Because Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Do you say Nostradamus?
And like Flo?
I say Nostradamus because he had a huge nose.
Flo from the insurance company?
No.
No, she will not be in attendance.
No.
What about Jan from Toyota?
Not there.
Who would win in a cage match, Flo or Jan?
Jan.
I agree.
Hardwell will be performing. Martin Garrix will be performing.
You might know this next one.
Die Antwoord.
Die Antwoord.
It says Die, Kevin.
It's Die.
Is it German?
They're from South Africa. You would know them because maybe... they were both featured in the film Chappie. They were both actors in it.
Were they?
That
what,
robot
what
film?
Movie what movie is that?
The movie Chappie?
It didn't do much, but it was a major
Chappie.
Film.
Yeah, yeah.
Were they both in Chappie?
They were, both yeah. They were, they're weird. They, like, I can't even explain them. It's, like, weird, kind of rappy.
Oh, sign me up.
It's bizarre. They're out there.
Did they do Rappy and Chappie? Were they doing that?
They did a little Chappie Rappy.
They did?
Uh-huh. Is the band Fade going to be there?
Fade is not
no,
there.
No, Fade will not be making an appearance this year.
Why do I know that name?
Fade Double A in the Fade. That's our own Kevin Richter's
Kevin,
band.
Kevin, is that your band?
That's my band.
Why isn't Fade on here?
Because we boycotted Lollapalooza. We got
commercial.
So many offers.
Too commercial.
And I said I just couldn't fit in my schedule.
Can't people book you if they want you to play?
Sure, they can do that.
How do they get in touch
FadeMusic at gmail.com.
Is
that's
it,
two A's.
Two A's, so
yeah.
F-A-A-D-E.
Yeah.
It's Fade.
What,
it's like Fonzie. They're big Fonzie.
Fade.
Bill would call it Fa'ad.
Yeah, well, we've gotten that too. That's okay.
Wasn't somebody in your band in the motion picture Chappie? Am I imagining that?
What is that movie?
Wait, yeah, Teddy did a little rappy in Chappie.
It was the Lonely Robot, right?
Was that what it is?
Bill, do you know what movie that is?
I don't know what Chappie is.
It was like from last summer. There was a robot.
Oh, it's huge. Big promotions.
Ask right, Dean about it. I bet you he remembers it.
Yep.
Yeah, but the way you said it was just like, oh, Bill knows music or movies. He'll get it. And I'm shocked you don't know Chappie.
I don't know what that is. I've not seen it.
Susie Chappie?
Call me Susie Chappie. All right, there's more. Believe it or not, Wendy, there's more. More bands at Lollapalooza. We'll break them down for you and give our expert analysis on which bands to see and which to avoid. Some of them were in the motion picture Chappie. Here we are. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
I know this band.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who is it, Wendy? You can name this band.
Give me the first letter.
L. And they're on the top of this list.
LCD Sound System.
You got it.
Who is it? Who did you say?
LCD Sound System.
Oh, is that who this is? I like this.
I do know this
band. They're pretty good. All right. I'll go to see Lollapalooza now. I wasn't going to go, but now I will. We're breaking down. This is Sound Opinion. I'm Greg Kot. She's Jim
DeRogatis. I got to be Jim DeRogatis.
You have to be Jim DeRogatis.
That's not fair.
I picked first. It's all that's left.
My straw is shorter and wider.
That's the rumor anyway. we're breaking down all the music for you, all the bands that'll be at Lollapalooza. There really is, I would say, 55 or 60 bands that'll be performing there throughout the weekend.
Them?
No, who has time to count? I'll just give you a guesstimate. The band Bastille will be performing.
They're
Leon
French.
Bridges. They are. Bastille is French.
You would like Leon Bridges.
What kind of music is
Leon
Bridges?
Soul.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I'm sure you've heard him. He's been a lot lately. He's been coming up quite a bit.
Block Party will be there.
You've probably heard them as well.
Now, this is, I don't understand this one. Kevin, if you understand this, tell me what this means. The band Big Grams.
I do understand this.
Big Grams will be performing, but it's not just Big Grams, and then it says in brackets, Big Boy plus Fantagram.
Well, that's an explanation of what Big Grams is.
It's
so
a merger?
Fantagram,
merge?
Yeah, it's sort of. It's a really cool project, actually. Fantagram is a separate female-led kind of indie group.
Yeah.
They got a lot of play maybe 2-3 years ago. Big Boy is one of the rappers from Outkast.
Oh,
and they did
yeah.
a collaboration, and it's really awesome, actually.
Oh, man.
And, you know, for information like this, I run a podcast called Sound Sessions to keep you up on all
Where
these.
Where could people hear that podcast?
On WGMplus.com. Me and all Michael right. Heidemann are the hosts.
All right.
I gotta listen to
that. I host
the
Lutheran Hour. Did you know that?
No, you don't.
Yes,
it's
I do.
It's not an hour.
I do.
You could if you wanted to.
I
keep
put
turning
in for
down.
It. I filled out an application.
Is Jewel Monopoly playing at Lollapalooza this
That's
year?
That's not a band. There's no band called that.
Yes, there is.
The last... Oh, I hope this isn't true. This is the saddest band name that I've reported to you from Lollapalooza. The Last Shadow Puppets, Wendy, will be
oh,
performing.
Oh, no. Is this
no more
last
Shadow
gig?
Puppets. Yeah, this is the end of Shadow Puppets. Big Gigantic Grizz... That sounds scary.
I think that's two separate bands, Big Gigantic and then
and
Grizz.
Grizz. Well, why don't they merge like the Big Grams merge?
You could, yeah, sure.
Maybe there could be a corporate takeover.
Listeners, if you're wondering what our pre-show meetings are like, this is pretty
it's
much
pretty,
it.
It's accurate. Yep.
I'm excited. Frightened Rabbit is going to be there.
I'm not familiar with them. What kind of music does Frightened Rabbit play?
I don't know. I just like their name.
I don't even see that on this list. Are you making this up, Wendy?
No, Frightened Rabbit.
They're going to be there
near Mute Math.
Oh, I see.
Cherub Mute Math.
What about this? All the way down, build somewhere around number 35 or 40, is Third Eye Blind.
Do,
I love Third Eye Blind.
Why are they so low on this list? Are there not still fans of Third Eye Blind? Or their sister band, Fourth Ear Deaf? They were a huge band, too. Why don't they get any notice?
Because they're not marketing Lollapalooza to people that were big followers of Third Eye Blind.
Oh, man. That's a
mistake. Do you remember when Tim Meadows of SNL fame and various other shows called us when we worked at Q101 and just called us on the request line and said he hated Third Eye Blind?
Yes, I do.
Because they were posers. They weren't really rappers.
Yep.
And he hated the doot, doot, doot. That's right. the catchiest part.
Right. I don't know why he was so angry about Third Eye Blind.
But maybe that's why they, you know, took a hit in popularity for a while.
Could be.
Lettuce is there, thank God.
Lettuce will be there this year, but no salad dressing this year. There's some cutbacks. What about, how do you say this band's name? It's the letter M and then the letter O, but the letter O has a line through it, like a Ghostbusters line. How would you say that?
Zero.
Is that how you say it? It looks like, here's how I would say it. No mo. That's how I would pronounce it. Could it be no mo?
The line's not through the M, though, is it?
No, just the O. That's crazy. Duke Dumont will be there. ASAP Ferg will be there. And the S has a dollar sign through it, like Kesha. You stole that from Kesha.
So that's like a, there's like an ASAP crew. You got your ASAP Rocky. You got your ASAP Ferg. That's their, like, their rap crew.
Do they get along?
Yeah.
All right.
Am I going to understand Sound Sessions when I listen to it?
Yeah.
WGN.
We're not just, you know, plus.com. The ASAPs and so on and all that. No, we're all over the place.
What about this band, Slumberjack, will be there?
Oh, I love that.
Slumberjack will be there this year. Daywave will be there. Party Favor will be there. The Cloves.
I love clove gum.
Panama Wedding.
Should I bring clove gum to the for the cloves?
Please do.
The greeting committee, I'm pretty excited
about.
Oh,
they sound friendly.
And my band, Potty Mouth.
Will Potty Mouth be performing?
Yeah, I'm bummed. I got to think of a band name. I don't really have a band, but...
You know what you're missing on this list, by the way?
Who?
You skipped over and without realizing it. Do you remember the band Nothing?
No.
Why do I know that name?
You spoke to their frontman.
Oh, yeah. He called in.
Nikki.
Yes.
About Martin Shkreli. They were on his label and they refused to...
They bailed on him.
Yes, they did.
Because he's a mean yep. dancing machine.
No. Years and Years will be performing, Wendy. That's a long show. I don't have time to see that whole show.
Oh, Jackal's going to be there?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
With the chainsaws? Yeah. I'm going.
The Noisy Freaks will be performing. That sounds like they just said to their parents, hey, could you name our band? We can't think of Mom, I can't think of a name for our band. Could you just name us? Well, you're a bunch of noisy freaks. I know what I'd like to call you.
That was a good mom, by the way.
That was the impression of the singer from the Freaks band.
I thought maybe Zach Galifianakis would call you to be like his aunt or something.
Skate Maloli will be performing, Wendy, at this year's Lollapalooza. And Daughter will also be there.
Which one?
One of my daughters. I'm not sure which one. It's a surprise.
They'll be there, though, won't they? At least Kylie?
Kylie went in the past and enjoyed it. But it really, I mean, 3 days of it is, like you said, is an intense
It's a
weekend.
Commitment. And
yeah.
It's typically really hot. It rains. Wasn't it, didn't they evacuate at some point because there were some big storms rolling in?
Yeah, there were some bad storms last year. And they're doing a fourth day this year for their 25th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
4 days.
2 years ago, after Kylie went to it with her friends, none of them could talk when it was over
because
they were all just screaming. Yeah.
That's just to have a conversation over the music. God, we're getting old.
Right. Right. It's true, isn't it?
At least I'm getting old, but I'm still younger than the Who that I went to see. So that makes me feel better, at least.
That's a plus.
And they can still rock.
Right. Absolutely. All right. A quick break. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have coming up next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.